much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
With the clock and it's those and with the clock and it's and clock similar to clock with the clock.
Oh, that takes me back.
The sum of the parts is greater than the, all of the sum of the, well, you know.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Are we ready for Psycho Mike's message from his mom?
Hi, hon. It's me. I heard you this morning. Made a mother very proud to hear you took a crack in the bushes. That's another story. Good show.
Other than that, good show.
It is not my fault. It is not what I do. It is who I am.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
And I have to say, I have goosebumps.
Roll another one.
Sounds like the beaver had quite a day.
Just like the other one.
Pushing the limits.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Really?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Way funnier if they offer up the first name.
Roll. Roll another one.
Tainted panties for you.
Just like the other one.
It's not right. I don't like it.
This one seems to be about to end.
Tony.
Dan. Zahn.
You get your ass hammered by guys. There's no better feeling than to have that done.
Rock and roll, hoochie coo.
Just pass it around.
Well, that's just good sense right there.
Open wide for Chunky.
And now,
bring it in, morning cheer.
U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You ugly. You mama say you ugly. Hey!
Our feature presentation.
That's a way to start the day right there.
With the ugly cheer? Yeah, you betcha. Hey, I got to give a big shout-out first thing because that was a by-request show open from our good friend at the Kevin Bean Archive, Kevin, who celebrates his birthday remarkably every year right about this time.
That's weird.
I mean, I don't know how you get that kind of consistency, but he's able to do it, and he does more for this show than we do, works harder on it than we do.
What do you say it was for him? Did he request all of those clips?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes. Most of them, yeah. He sent in a list of things, his favorites, that he hadn't heard in a while, and asked if I could put together something special for his birthday. I'm happy to do it. In the Kevin Bean Archive, we don't talk about much, but it is a phenomenal resource, especially if, you know, Dave forgets to put the podcast up or something. He's got your back. Or if you're looking for something that's old that you can't easily find on our website, you go over there and he's got it. I mean, the guy listens to every single show.
That's a little scary.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And couldn't be a nicer dude. Couldn't have a nicer family. Couldn't be a bigger fan or a better guy.
Have you already scoped out his family?
Well, I mean, they've been to live events that we've done, and we've met him and talked to him, and yeah, great, great dude. That's all I'm saying. All right. So anyway, happy birthday to you, the other Kevin. Hey, let's get started today on a Friday with an awesome story that, I'm going to be gone for a little while, taking some vacation. So I don't want to save this until I get back.
Right.
This might, ordinarily, this is the type of story I might save for Death Corner, but there won't be a Death Corner for a while. So I got to go with it today.
What do you got?
Here's a family in China, in the Sichuan province. And, a lot of cultures have myths about medicine. You know, we've oftentimes taken phone calls from our Mexican listeners who will talk about, oh, my mom used to put Vicks vapor rug on me anytime anything bad happened because that's going to cure everything, right?
Right.
Well, in China, I don't know how widespread this belief is, but she heard that if you're having psychiatric problems, her daughter had some mental problems, that what you do is you feed them a soup with a man's head boiled in it.
What?
And apparently that takes care of that.
Wait, an actual man's head?
Yes, actual man's head, yeah. So what she did was the obvious thing to do. She had a 25-year-old daughter who had some mental illness problems. So she said, I got to get a man's head. So she and her husband hired a hitman to, quote unquote, gather the ingredients for the soup.
Wow.
They hired somebody who knocked out and killed a 76-year-old drunk man, cut off his head. Then they cut out his eyes and his ears and his nose and his mouth, chopped them all up, put them in a soup.
Oh, my God.
Sounds reasonable to me. I mean, that's what she heard. She heard that it worked. But she didn't get away with it. Apparently, they were discovered. It doesn't say how. The guy, the hitman, was also discovered. He's been sent to jail for the rest of his life. She's going to also be in jail for the rest of her life.
Most importantly, how's the girl? Is she healed?
Here's what the article says. As for the daughter, any benefit she may have gotten from drinking the soup surely went up in smoke when her mother informed her what was in it. So,
yeah.
I guess you don't you don't want to know too much about what you're eating in this.
Who's hungry?
Yeah. So that's a crazy. I hadn't heard that one before. That's a crazy one.
Yeah, most people that believe wacky stuff like that, they don't go to those lengths.
Yeah.
Hire a hitman, take him out, cut off his head. You're going, whoa. Is there anything less than that?
Anything that doesn't involve me cutting a man's eyes out of his skull.
There's got to be different treatments, some a little more effective, some a little less effective. But let's go with a little less effective without the cutting off the head.
Yeah, I had not heard about head soup before, but I have to look into that one. Keep that one in my back pocket if I ever need it.
I rented head soup over the weekend. It was very good.
I bet you did.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I was underimpressed.
You haven't heard about it yet. What if I were to tell you we had LaQuisha talking about Jersey Shore? We got that coming up
today.
Check
it out. Yeah, I think you'll like this.
I believe it was the season finale last night.
Oh, thank God.
So, Bean, you're going to be very upset. What are you going to watch on Thursday nights, you know?
The same thing I've been watching on Thursday nights. Oh. Something that's not Jersey Shore.
Bean hates it for the same reason those of us who love it, is because it's horrible in every way. At what age are you too old to trick or treat? What's the age?
I say four.
See, that four, yeah, okay. That's a little extreme. I say 70. So we're going to have to come to some kind of agreement today.
Okay. I do know that there are people who feel like it's not so much trick-or-treating as it is a shakedown.
Yeah, it's a holdup.
When they open, when you open your door, there's like a 250-pound guy on your porch demanding candy.
Hey, candy. All right. Joe Levy, the editor of Maxim Magazine, best damn magazine in the world. We have Movie Beat today. Ralph, mm-hmm. Take a look at the new movies. We have Tim Armstrong from Rancid in studio.
How about that?
Very
I love
exciting.
Tim.
He's got a new project called Tim Time Bomb's Rock and Roll Theater, and it is, I don't want to say Glee, but it is a musical,
mm-hmm.
But it's nothing like Glee. But, I mean, they do sing and dance a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that in it, singing and dancing. I don't know how to describe it. We'll have to ask him when he comes in, but it's fascinating. And you can tell he made it, versus other people. So that's coming up today as well. And if you like to bet on the NFL, Cousin Sal, who is Jimmy Kimmel's real cousin, on his program, and he will come on our show again this week and give us his NFL picks. And he goes against the spread. So those of you that are looking to make a little money, allegedly, because gambling's illegal and it would be bad, you can listen in this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and we will come back with Ralph Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ, and it is about 9 minutes till 6.
Why is the count in the studio? What's going on there?
What? I'm just singing Black Hole Sun, that's all.
Okay.
He's doing a little guitar with his mouth.
Hey, Ralph Kramer, what's going on, man? Welcome in.
Oh, thank you, Bean Baxter.
Ready to look a little showbiz for us today?
Why not? Before I do, however, let's give away some tickets to the very special K-Rock Advanced Screening of The Rum Diary. New Johnny Depp film based on the first novel ever by Hunter S. Thompson, legendary journalist and writer who left us all too soon. Happens on Tuesday, October the 25th. If you'd like to attend, that'll put you well in advance of everyone else who sees it in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 28th. If you'd like to attend, and it's happening at the Arclight in Hollywood, which is one of my favorite theaters in the world because you can drink there.
There is drinking there, that's true. Yeah. That's fantastic.
1-800-520-1067. First caller to get through at that phone number will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of The Rum Diary. I can't wait to see that film. Johnny Depp. Kevin, I heard you talking about his interview with Larry King.
Yeah, I was hoping Larry...
Which I did not see.
I wanted to get Larry I mean, Crazy Larry, you know, because he's gotten crazy in his old age, but he was pretty lucid. So
yeah, it's just fascinating. I was able to finally find it, okay. And watch it, and it was a great interview. But you're right, Larry King was full blown journalist mode at that point, asking relevant questions.
What happened? I wanted bad.
I get the sense that when Larry cares, he can crank it up a notch and actually do the job. I think the day in and day out of interviewing people like the Kardashians and stuff on his CNN show for many years just killed him inside. He just died inside and just stopped caring.
What do I know
I think we can relate to that feeling.
I think we can.
You're amazing.
But the thing that struck me about Johnny Depp is he's 50.
Yeah.
And he looks the same as he did when he did Crybaby.
Yeah.
He doesn't age. He's like a vampire. It's just weird. And this is not a guy who has lived a monastic lifestyle. You know, he's not eating sprouts doing yoga every day. He's smoking 3 packs a day, chugging wine.
I think that's the key.
Doing sex, drugs, and rock and roll for the better part of his young adulthood. Put himself through the ringer, came out looking like a champ. It's not right.
Meanwhile, Larry has aged all the years that Johnny has.
That's true. Yeah.
Larry looks, he may be 80 or whatever he is, he looks twice that.
Yeah, Larry is the portrait Johnny Depp has in his attic for you Dorian Gray fans.
Poker face, poker face, poker face, poker face,
when he cares about an interview like Lady Gaga, he does the work. He puts the work in.
That's the only reason I watch that show.
I'm a professional.
You
look
are,
it
Larry.
Up in the book.
You're pro. Professional. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, come see me and Kevin Smith do our hilarious comedy program known as Hollywood Babylon. Up at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater at Universal City Walk, 10 p.m. We'd love to have you up there. You can go to thelovitz.com for more information and tickets. We'd love to have you come by. It's our triumphant return from the East Coast. Saturday. Today is Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday. And then Sunday comes afterward.
Okay, it comes after. Okay.
Yeah. Liddler! Was hauled into jail last Wednesday when she didn't comply with her probation orders. And apparently, it looks like she still doesn't think there's anything serious going on in her life.
What does it take for her to get that message?
This week, she was supposed to start her community service at the morgue. She had to do the morgue and the Los Angeles Downtown Women's Center. So they said, don't come back, the Women's Center. You're not welcome here. The judge Wednesday said, look, you have to start doing this morgue sentence. You got to get in there and start knocking it out. So,
just to knock it out of the morgue?
She showed up 40 minutes late for her scheduled time.
Wow.
Coroner's office sent her home. Said, come back next time, try again.
Is that right?
Yeah. Said, you have to be here on time if you want to comply. Gave her the boot. Her publicist says the reason she was late is because she didn't know how to enter the building. There are 4 sides to any building.
And by the way,
does it take you 40 minutes to walk around them?
That's a 3-minute holdup at best.
Yeah. Also, look for the door, Lindsay. That's my advice.
Also, the publicist said it was the confusion caused by the media that caused Lindsay to be late.
What?
Well, when all else fails, blame the media. I thought that was magical.
Wow, because she sat there and that judge was yelling at her.
I would be sitting on the front steps before they opened with a donut and a cup of coffee just saying, just let me know when you guys are open and I will be there.
I'll stay an extra hour.
I'll be carting corpses around.
Great news. She gets to work in the morgue and I don't, by the way.
I know. It's not fair, Bean.
Bean and I went to the morgue one time. We were doing a series where we did other people's jobs, and I had to leave immediately, and Bean was like a pig in slop.
Oh, I can imagine.
They let us run the crematorium, Ralph.
He's like, this is great. And I was outside like, ugh.
Did he pull one of the girls out on the slab and just get on top?
I'm sure he did.
Was it like that at all?
See them. Yeah.
I was very respectful and just interested. That's all.
Why don't you just lay down in one of those drawers, Bean? You're just this close away from it. Just get in. Just get in and close yourself up.
Hey, that's what I was thinking about Lindsay. She's going to be at that morgue soon enough. It's just that time somebody else is going
to
be driving her.
She gets to make a reservation. That's all.
Right.
Great news for us. Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga have signed on for Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
All right.
That's great.
Come on.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
I, for one, cannot wait to hear Dick Clark pronounce the names Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga. That's for sure. Let's come on, Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber.
He's an older me.
Yeah, or you're younger him.
Yeah. Only he has a medical reason for it.
14, 8, 7.
All right, let's count it down. 20, 19, 16, 17, 9, 12.
What?
10, come 4, on. 14.
Come
Happy
on.
New Year.
Dang.
7, 6, 8, 11, 11, 18, 5, 3, 2, 20.
Funny.
Happy New Year.
That's New Year's.
He celebrated last year and this year. There were two Happy New Year's in there.
Two 11s, too.
And the part where he gums his wife right after
That's
just the wettest thing on television all year long.
He actually speaks well English.
He does speak well English. We have to do an interview, one of our phone topics, about the strangest date you've ever been on.
Okay.
Because I thought this was an odd story. Kirstie Alley's got a new boyfriend. They apparently took a romantic trip to Paris. And when you're in Paris, it's the city of lights, you know. It's the quintessential romantic city. She didn't go to the Eiffel Tower. She wasn't eating a baguette in some cafe along the Rue de la Roche. Instead, she and her date went to Jim Morrison's grave and partied there. Left a bouquet of pink roses on the headstone statue there and hung out there for their date at Jim Morrison's grave. It's like she was dating Bean.
It is. I went to, when I was in Paris, but it is one of the most famous landmarks in Paris. Very popular, that cemetery. A lot of people go to that. I think it's the Paris Chaussee, I think it's what it's called. A lot of people go there to visit the cemetery.
It's an odd choice to go on a date.
Yeah, it is odd.
With your new love. To me, it's weird to go to someone's grave that's not your relative, first of all. But then the date, is a whole nother level.
I think going to any grave for anybody is even...
A lot of people visit, Edith Piaf, the great French singer, is buried there, and Oscar Wilde. Sure, a lot of people buried in that cemetery.
Many an hour at Edith Piaf's grave.
She was who Marion Cotillard played in Le Vie en Rose.
Yeah, she won the Oscar for that. The chick with the Bacher's eyes.
He doesn't have Bacher's eyes.
I don't know who any of those people are.
I know you
don't.
This
is what Kevin DeHoo we're talking about here.
He doesn't know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Judge Judy. Shinlin. One of the richest ladies in all of show business, by the way.
Shocking, isn't it?
Makes about $50 million a year on
that
show.
That's baloney.
Well, I know
it doesn't
baloney.
Make sense.
It doesn't make any sense to me either, Judy, and yet still, you're rich.
Not interested, sir.
You are rich beyond the dreams of avarice.
So you get Zippo.
That's
Nada.
Right. You get it all. She's 69 years old today. Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, turns 55. Hey, say what you want about that Jenny Craig.
Yeah.
That worked for her. Have you seen it lately?
No, I haven't.
She looks terrific.
She's lost, about 40 pounds, it looks like.
Oh, better than that, I would guess.
Really?
Yeah, she looks great. Ken Watanabe, very talented actor. He is 52 years old. Jeremy Miller, who played one of the kids on Growing Pains, is 35. Kim Kardashian.
No way.
Is 31 years old today.
I can't believe she didn't sell that. There's a sponsor associated with that birthday?
Yeah. Speaking of, that's another story about selling things to the tabloids that I'll bring up in the next hour.
All right.
Involving Jessica Simpson. And
really?
Head explode, yeah.
They're still interested in her?
Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe that's her problem. We'll have to wait and see next hour. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Friday means a bunch of good things here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including LaQuisha talking about last night's Jersey Shore season finale. Ralph will be here with the Movie Beat. Cousin Sal talks NFL. And we'll also catch up with our friend Joe Levy today, editor of Maxim Magazine. All of that still to come. And Tim Armstrong. That's from Rancid. That's almost too much show.
I'm sure if you've seen any of the news, you have heard that Muammar Gaddafi is dead. Here's the news piece.
He was Libya's self-styled revolutionary leader who ruled with an iron fist for more than 40 years. Colonel Muammar Gaddafi said he would rather die than step down from the leadership of Libya.
So the people said, okay, we can arrange that. And he's dead.
He's another guy like Saddam Hussein who was hiding in a hole. Gaddafi apparently was hiding in some sort of a pipe or something. Like a sewer pipe.
That's not how you want to go.
And then they drag him out and some guy in a Yankees cap busts a cap in his head and he's gone. So, yeah, that happens. So what happens to Gaddafi next? I don't know. Why don't we dial up the Hotline to Hell and find out?
Oh, we haven't checked in the Hotline to Hell in a long time.
It has been a very long time, but let's face it. He's the guy who thought his people loved him forever. He'd never have any trouble. He'd stay there until he died. Well, he did stay there until he died, but it was a little sooner than he thought. All right, is this thing working? We got the connected?
Hello, Hell.
Hello.
Hi, we're looking for Muammar Gaddafi.
Oh, my babies. How are you, my babies? this is Gaddafi. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, well, listen. You... Hey, give me a hand here. How do we spell my name? Is it G? Is it Q? How is it?
We don't know. We heard K-H. We have no idea.
I'm trying to write a check here. I don't know how to sign it.
We were going to ask you, that's one of the great mysteries of your reign, is that there's 40 different ways to spell your name. It's kind of weird.
A man so nice, you have to spell it twice. That's what they always said about me.
And no one said you were nice. As a matter of fact, everyone seemed to hate you.
Everybody
but
loves me. My people love me, my babies.
Your people,
they could not be happier with me.
I know. I've heard you say that 100 times, but yes, your people clearly didn't love you.
They do love me.
But they dragged you from the sewer.
Yeah, because they said, oh, look, Muammar's in the sewer. What's he doing down there? He shouldn't be down in the sewer. Let's bring him up.
He's too good for this?
Let's put him on our shoulders and march him through the streets.
All right, what about the gunshot to the head? What was that?
Oh, just a flesh wound.
Okay, but it
I'm
killed
fine.
You.
No, don't believe everything you read, my babies. I'm fine.
But we just called you on the hotline to hell. You're clearly dead.
No, it's an answering service. Hello?
I've seen
leave
the
a message. Beep.
I've seen the cell phone video of you being killed. It's everywhere.
Oh, listen, they can make that stuff look like anything.
Okay.
They made Michael Jackson look like he was dead, for God's sake. You see that photo they doctored up of him?
Well, he is dead.
What?
Now, why is it you didn't flee the country with the rest of your family a couple of months ago when it was obvious that the angry mob was getting closer and closer to your compound? Your family, your kids, your wife, they all left. You stayed behind. Why?
Well, to tell you the truth, I had the box set of Walking Dead.
Oh.
And I wasn't finished with it yet.
Oh, no.
And I didn't want to leave it behind. So I said, I'll just wait until I see the end of the first season.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll leave the country. Too late.
Have you gotten to the part where they get to the CDC in Atlanta yet?
No. I haven't got a spoiler alert. Hey, spoiler alert. I just told you I haven't seen it yet.
It all ends fine. Everyone's happy.
That's so good. There's a lot of people down here that look like the cast from that show, by the way.
I bet that's true.
They're how are you? Attractive people. Hey, Lindsay Lohan.
Whoa,
how are you?
Good whoa, to see you.
Oh, you're
hey
kidding
now
me. Really?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's just a zombie.
Okay.
What's it like not being in charge anymore? I mean, you're down there. You're working for another dude now.
How do you know I'm not in charge?
That's well, I question just assume you've just been there a day. It seems
yeah,
like the devil.
They had the great job opening waiting for me when I got here.
Is that right?
Yes. I am minister of sodomy.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
It involves red hot pokers.
Oh. No.
But at least I'm a giver, not a taker. You know what I mean? I'm a pitcher, not a catcher.
When it comes to that, it's very important.
It is very important. You don't want to be on the wrong end of a poker.
No, you don't.
Poker.
Well, you're in a remarkably good mood for a guy who was killed less than 24 hours ago, Gaddafi.
Hey, I'm in hell. What could be bad? You know, it's like I feel like I'm surrounded by friends.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I got Hitler on the left of me, Potpole to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
All right, F you.
What?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Nope, it is 6:21. Nope, don't have time for this, sorry.
I don't know if you're aware that Halloween is a week from Monday, Kevin.
Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
I'm starting to hear a lot of conversations about, hey, what are you gonna be?
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks.
No!
Behind the tree. I wish that the children could see.
Hey!
But I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
By the way, that's a song which was recorded, I believe, in 1962. Two of the three members in that band are still alive. And I had a listener suggest the other day that we might want to get them on the air for
there's
a little bit of
a chance in a million years.
One of them is like 91 or something.
Oh,
like
my
that
God. They would probably be. Actually, they would probably do a better version than that.
I told the listener I did not think it was likely that that was going to fly. But with Halloween here, a couple of things come to mind. A is the pressure's on to find that perfect costume. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that next week. But B, and I don't know why I heard somebody bring this up the other day, there's a growing movement in communities to restrict the age at which you can trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
People are saying, hey, why are 20-year-olds coming to my door in costume asking for candy? The holiday's supposed to be for little kids. Kevin, you've been on all sides of this equation.
Yes.
You trick-or-treated as a youth. You're now a father with kids who are getting up to a certain age. What's your thought on that?
Listen, if we're going by me, I mean, I have very vivid memories of, first of all, you're getting a little old. To me, it was, you know, 9, 10, 11, right? And then people start looking at you a little funny. So you wear costumes to make yourself look a little younger. And then you get to be 13, 14, you go, F it, I don't care. And then you just put on like a hat, and then you go up, and you can tell they don't like you, but they'll still give you candy. Like, it takes a certain something for somebody to go, no, no candy for you.
Right.
So they don't want you to trick-or-treat anymore, but it's more work than it's worth, so they just give you the candy anyway. And then when you get to be 15, 16, 17, you just there's no longer the hat. You just walk up and go, candy. Just
with a gun.
Hand it over. I want all of it. And then, you know, they hate you. But at some point, there has to be that age. I just was unaware and didn't care what that age was.
I see.
I don't know what you think it should be. I mean, it really, it is for kids.
It is for kids, but you do see, I mean, kids grow out of Halloween at different ages. There may be kids who are over it and think they're too old at 11, but there may be other kids who still really are excited and enjoy it or in the spirit of it who are 14. I don't know.
Dude, there's no in the spirit of it or anything. It's about the candy.
It's a grab.
It's just, yeah, it's a candy grab. You just go, hey, candy's good, and I can walk to strangers' houses and they'll give me some. And that should never end. Is how you start feeling. And then, you know, the people see you and they go, come on. You go, just give me the candy. All right. It gets ugly.
What age did you finally stop going out trick-or-treating?
I'll let you know.
It's a little embarrassing now when you show up and they think that you were there with your kids. And you're there for candy.
I don't remember, but I just remember it clearly being an age at which the people in the neighborhood were uncomfortable with. Like a couple of years after they wanted me to stop. I would guess I was, you know, a 15-year-old jackass going out asking for candy. I mean, really. I just like, hey, how you doing? I'd try to walk up with other groups. To make it look like I'm with kids or something? It was
right.
Cool. I don't know. I just tried anything I could do to get the free candy.
And are you a guy who would eat it all that night or eat as much of it as you could within 24 hours?
I would eat it, and then I would hide it all over the house. Because you can't eat it all at once, but you don't want anyone else eating it. So you put some under the bed, you put some in the bathroom, you put some places where, you know, your parents won't look, in the kitchen. Right under their eyes, you know, right under their nose. You put it like underneath the cereal bowls or something, and then you go get it in the middle of the night.
You thought this out. Well, I'd be curious from our listeners who have who had this discussion or are having this discussion now with either yourselves, your friends, your kids, whatever it is. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. And how do you handle it when a 30-year-old shows up at your door? Kevin with a mask and a gun and shakes you down.
Yeah, you're giving out candy, and there's a certain point where you go, hey, this isn't for you. So why don't you go someplace else? Yeah, that's what you think. You give them a candy, let's be honest.
I wonder if there's anybody who does refuse to give candy to kids because they're too old.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'd love to hear about that. I'd love to hear about how that's handled.
Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. If you have that limit where you go, nope, no candy for you. Get out of my house. Get out of my sight.
And how do you decide how old is too old to trick-or-treat? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about Halloween, a week from Monday, and what happens when 35-year-old guys show up asking for candy. By the way, yeah, this won't surprise you, Kevin. I don't get any trick-or-treaters at my house.
Well, you moved to an island so that no one could ever visit you ever with a moat, and you got lions, I think.
There aren't people around for miles. You can't see another house. There's no lights. I mean, I do set up the traps in case somebody wanted to come down the driveway. Sure. They would fall into the pit underneath the driveway. But so far, nobody has shown up. So I haven't had this problem. But apparently, a lot of people have. We're going to go to your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Jenna writes in, I've got a huge problem with grown-ups who bring their infants to my house. They come up to me and they say, hey, they're getting candy for the baby. Look, the kid can't hold his own head up, but the candy is for them. F you. The rule at our house is you have to be able to chew the candy. Candy, and you have to be dressed up. I'll give candy to a 50-year-old perv in a costume, but I'll gladly turn away some jackhole who's using his baby as a way to get free stuff for him. So Jenna's got some very specific rules.
Take it easy.
Let's see what Jim's got going on. He's on line three, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling, dude. What's your policy?
My policy is nobody's ever too old, because if you piss them off, they're going to come back and throw pumpkins at your house.
See, that's the thing, is you don't want to make teenagers angry.
Well, so you keep a bowl of Taco Bell hot sauce packets right next to the candy, because all they want to see is your hand throwing something in their bag.
I see.
And then when they get home and dump it out, they go, oh, who was that jackhole?
Somebody gave me hot sauce. That's lame.
Now, Jim, let me ask you this, because we were just talking about this during the song here off the air, too. Can you put your hand in the kid's bag and drop something so that they know that they got something from your house, but they're not going to be able to know which person left what in their bags when they get home?
Oh, yeah. It's all quick hand. You got to just have the quick hand. Just throw it in. You just bang. Oh, hey, give them a smile. Have a nice night.
Jim's doing a magic trick. He pulls a bunny out.
Where did that come from? All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's try Ryan. Ryan is on line 7. He says he turns the older kids away.
Oh,
I want to
please.
Find out how that works in real life. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. What do you do, man? How's this work?
Well, typically, you know, a lot of kids will show up, and you can kind of tell how old most kids are just by the sound of their voice if you can't see, you know, what they look like. So,
yeah, I'd like some candy.
The Barry Manilow voice kind of gives it away that it's an adult, but you know, if a kid is like, for me, the age is limited to 15. You know, if you're 15, you need to get a job.
Now,
you can buy your own candy. So,
now, so you don't give.
I'll just be like, sorry, man, you got to go.
Anybody that looks like they're 15 or older, you do not give candy to.
Correct,
dude. I'm telling you right now, I would target your house for the next year.
And it would be
an a-hole move of me, but I'm 15.
But I have to also ask, you can't card these people. They don't have IDs with their age on it. How are you guessing and believing that you're accurate? Because there are a lot of 15-year-olds, you know, they look 15, they might be 19, they might be 11. You don't know how people age, dude.
Well, when I was 11 years old, I was pushing 6 foot tall in the fifth grade. So I got discriminated against, so I think it just kind of carried over.
Oh,
I stopped trick-or-treating at age 12. So
you've been angry since you were 12.
and he gets it out of the poor little kids in his neighborhood.
Yep, I'm taking out on everybody else.
Get out of my sight. What if there's a group of kids of 15-year-olds, but there's a 12-year-old in there?
Well, that's fine.
All right.
You know, as long as there's one that I think might be legit,
all right,
it's good to go.
I got you.
Okay,
right.
Thank you for the call. By the way, Sharon writes in, I guess she's on your page too, when kids, quote-unquote, come to your door, no costumes and smoking, I say they're too damn old. I will say no candy for you, and I will send them on their way.
Wow.
All right, let's try Bellary or Bellary, however you want to say line 5. She has an interesting policy, too. Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. It's Bellary.
Bellary.
I say if they make the effort to wear a costume, you give them candy. If they don't, you give them the empty box of candy that you have stashed to the side.
Ah, you have a separate stash, so you still put something in their bag. And
yes,
they can't tell it's empty. Good. So
exactly.
What about the shirt? This is my costume. What about that? What do you do there? That's a costume.
If they make the effort, yes.
Really? If they wear that shirt, that's enough?
That's enough for me. I've had grandmas come with a plastic bag, no costume, nothing, to say trick or treat. I'm not giving them candy.
You had grandmas come?
Yes.
Whose grandma goes trick or treat?
That's
with no
weird.
Costume. Yeah.
That's bizarre.
So you don't have any kind of age cutoff. The last guy said 15 is his cutoff. If somebody shows up at your house, they're 35 years old and they're in a costume, they still get candy from you.
And they're looking like an idiot with a costume? Why not?
Where do you live?
Why not?
Yeah. Kevin will be there, right? Michael writes in, back in college a few years ago, I found this little pumpkin-shaped sippy cup. I went up and down Frat Row and throughout the neighborhoods in San Luis Obispo in costume with a girlfriend of mine. We knocked on the door and said we were trick-or-treating for shots. People loved it. We're extremely supportive of the cause. We got keg stands, beer bugs.
Wow.
Some people even welcomed us in, pulled out their top-shelf stuff like Patron and Grey Goose all for free. That's an interesting idea I've never heard before.
That's strong.
Trick-or-treating for shots. Want to talk to someone who's still trick-or-treating at 28 years old?
Yes.
Daniel's on line 1.
Daniel.
What's up?
You're 28.
Yes.
Do you have children?
No.
Do you go by yourself?
I go with two of my buddies of mine.
So three guys that are roughly 28 years old.
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, when you guys are putting on your costumes, getting ready to go out on Halloween night around 5 p.m., you have to feel like the saddest little group of people in the world.
No, actually, it's really fun because where we go, we normally go where there's like a bunch of teenagers or like our age people, and we go around hitting on the girls or hitting on the older sisters of the...
Okay, but you know, you're not, at that point, you're not trick-or-treaters anymore. You're pedophiles, right? You know that.
No, that's not pedophiling, because you're having fun, you're going trick-or-treating, and you're having a good time. There shouldn't be an age limit to go trick-or-treating.
But you're not getting candy, or are you?
Yeah, we are. We go up and we ring the doorbell for the...
Oh, you got to know those people are just rolling their eyes.
No, actually, Daniel, they laugh at us. They laugh at us and like, hey, you guys are having fun. Hey, no problem. And they give us candy. They give us, there was a time that some guy gave us some beers because he knew how old we are.
Did you ever think about transitioning into, say, an adult Halloween party and not trick-or-treating anymore?
Those
we
are better.
We do that, too.
Okay.
We do that. We go trick-or-treating, and then after that, we go to all the parties.
I love to a young man. Eat and
I could have done, weighing
done
in
without that.
Daniel.
All right, Daniel, I suspect one day we'll see you on the news, but thank you for calling.
And we're going to have to tell you what you tell the authorities what.
Tim Armstrong from the band Rancid.
What and first man on the moon. That's impressive. I think that he's had two careers.
I'm pretty sure it's that was Craig Tim. Armstrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's the guy with the one ball, right? Who rides bikes?
No, that's Lance Armstrong.
Okay, he blows the horn, right? He's the guy from Louisiana who's the great jazz trumpeter, right?
That's actually Neil Armstrong. That guy is Neil Armstrong.
You mean Louis Armstrong?
I thought Neil Armstrong was the astronaut.
No, I said that was Craig Armstrong, and then it just flew on by like nobody was listening.
No,
so I'm kind of circling back around here. Was it Craig Armstrong, the guy who played Booger in the Police Academy movies?
I don't know.
I was going for.
No.
All right. But let's get to
Curtis Armstrong.
Curtis Armstrong.
And not in the Police Academy movies.
Oh, Craig Armstrong's a singer.
It was
singer,
in the Revenge of the Nerds movies.
I'm so confused at this
Congratulations on a terrific performance.
Thank you so much.
I think we may have botched that entire bit.
No.
All right. Ralph is here with his Showbiz Beat now on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Tim Armstrong from Rancid joins us next hour.
Ah, I understand who it is now. Hey, you know what? Don't need Bradley Cooper in every movie made ever.
That's how it works, though. Once you get hot, man, you're in 10 in a row, it seems.
But let's not get ridiculous. This story bummed me out seriously this morning. Because Steven Soderbergh is doing a remake of one of my favorite classic TV shows of all time, which is a TV show called The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And it was a spy series, a James Bond-esque spy series from the 60s, which was very cool.
Right, but
they had
Soderbergh.
They had secret weapons and cigarette cases that turned into guns and things like that.
James Bondish,
cool. Yeah, very Bondish.
All right,
and it starred two guys, Robert Vaughn and David McCallum. And they were one guy, Napoleon Solo, was kind of the cool American Bond, and he had a Russian partner.
Right,
and Soderbergh announced he was remaking this movie, and I was like, awesome, because that's a movie that is just that subject matter is prime for a remake and do a really cool thing with it, and Soderbergh will be terrific.
Right.
And originally, George Clooney was going to play the American Bond character. And I said, oh, perfect casting, couldn't get any better. Then Clooney backed out of the project, and now it looks like Bradley Cooper is going to play Napoleon Solo.
He seems fine to me.
Nah.
Fine.
Nah.
Fine.
Nah.
What's your problem with him?
He's fine.
He's so winky-wink to the camera, cheesy sort of. You see the A-Team?
Well, the A-Team was the entire movie was that.
But
way.
His performance is like that a lot. And it's just, he doesn't have the cool factor of Napoleon Solo. Napoleon Solo was like, he literally was like an American James Bond, like old school Bond, like a Connery kind of cool-ass Bond. And I
that guy. What would he need him for?
I'm just saying.
Seems fine to me.
I'm just saying.
I think he'll be all right.
I'm just saying.
It's Steven Soderbergh, dude.
I understand that.
All right.
But then it's Bradley Cooper is what I'm saying.
Could it be Michael Winslow instead?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I found a great Michael Winslow video.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. It's Michael Winslow doing A Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin just with his mouth. Yeah.
That's astonishing. That
it
video.
Is astonishing.
Astonishing. You can't believe he's still alive, first of all, and that he still is able to do stuff like
Remarkable.
That.
Remarkable. We have to have him on the show. King of Mexico, book Michael Winslow. Book Michael Winslow for next week. It was just me and Kevin just hanging out. We'll have Michael Winslow in the studio.
Not interested.
For the entire show. He can co-host.
By the way, this isn't the first time Ralph has suggested we get Michael Winslow on, but it still hasn't happened. What's up with that?
What's the brother have to do to get some action around here? I want the 100-pound ball man, and I want Michael Winslow.
Well. Don't want that.
Not interested.
Kevin, he's on a Norwegian talk show, and he's doing Jimmy Page's guitar part and then singing Robert Plant's vocal almost at the same time, and it sounds just like the record. You can't believe it's real.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Kevin's a surly dude. Jessica Simpson, it's been said, is pregnant for some time now. They've been talking about the fact that she's had a baby. A bun in the oven, as it were, but she will not acknowledge. She will not say yes. She will not say we are expecting my fiance and I. She won't say it publicly.
Well, what's the secret?
And that's what everybody's saying. Look, she's starting to show and everything. Why won't she come out? Well,
she sounds fat.
We may know now why. Word is that her dad/manager...
Is the father?
Is the father, no. Joe Simpson is looking to sell the official news story and in a package deal with the first photographs of the baby when it's born. And he can't get anyone to meet his price, so he's still shopping the unborn fetus around to tabloids, and he can't get anybody to bite. And until he gets a deal, they aren't going to announce publicly that she's pregnant until they can get someone to pay for the honor of putting it in their magazine.
For the announcement.
Yes.
So why would she say, yeah, I'm pregnant on the red carpet when she can sell it and have a cover story in People magazine?
Right.
The truth revealed, Jessica Simpson tells us exclusively.
Right. Right.
Let's just wait her out. I think we win on this
no
one.
No one because, bite. No right. one buy this story. So when she's 8 months, she's as big as a house. We'll say, are you pregnant? Oh, I can't really say anything one way or the other.
You go, okay.
How tragic. They're so desperate to pimp out an unborn baby that they can't even enjoy the public announcement of the fact that she's with child.
Yeah.
I like the fact that no one is buying the story.
That is funny.
I do, too.
No one seems to be too interested, so that's good stuff.
How about that?
Linda Lohan!
Hauled away into jail on Wednesday for not complying with her probation orders. Still really hasn't gotten the message. She was ordered to perform more community service hours at the L.A. morgue yesterday, but she turned up 40 minutes late for her scheduled time. The coroner's office said, nice try, go home, come back another time. They sent her home. They didn't let her come in and do her time.
I'll bet that judge, because she seems so angry, called them and said, do this.
Look, she shows up.
She has to be on time.
Or forget about it. So she needs to reschedule to come back again, but her publicist is blaming the fact that she was late on not knowing how to enter the building. How drunk was she? How drunk was she when she showed up?
40 minutes? The publicist is saying it's 40 minutes because she didn't know how to enter the
building.
Well,
it was that, not knowing how to enter the building, and the confusion caused by the media. You damn media. You media types.
What does that mean?
It's the media, Kevin.
But what does that mean?
With all their media-sness. Lamestream media. And this is kind of cool. There was a quickly canceled Matthew Perry sitcom back in the late 1980s. This is pre-Friends Matthew Perry.
Okay.
Called Second Chance. And apparently...
Let's not give it one.
It was one of these look back in time sitcoms, you know, where they got time travel, right?
Right.
And in the jokes about the future... The sitcom wrote that Muammar Gaddafi died in 2011.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. They
what?
Called it.
What?
They called it.
What?
That is amazing.
That's weird.
In 1987 sitcom did a joke about Gaddafi showing up at the pearly gates in heaven in 2011. St. Peter welcomes him and says, oh, finally, dead at last. Big laugh track.
And the reason that joke would have worked then is because that's when Gaddafi was in the international crosshairs. You know, he was, Libya was in the news all the time. I think it was after that plane was shot down. A bunch of other stuff was going on. So it makes sense for then. But wow, crazy, right?
2011, they called it.
Did they say they'd pull him out of a sewer pipe?
They did not mention that in the sitcom episode. You'd think, though, if they really could look into the future, they would have known that that show would have got canceled. So they wouldn't have put it on the air.
Work into it.
Come see me and Kevin Smith Saturday night at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater. We're doing Hollywood Babylon. It's our return show here in Los Angeles after our triumphant Hometown Hero Tour.
Oh, yeah.
And by tour, you mean one show?
We did one show in the East Coast, yeah. But we're back here in L.A. Tomorrow night, Saturday, 10 p.m. You can go to thelovitz.com for more details and to get tickets. See me and Kevin Smith. Celebrity birthdays, Judy Scheinlin. She's probably better known to you as Judge Judy. She's 69 years old today. I don't want to think about Judge Judy and 69 ever in the same mental image.
No,
it's not for me.
I want you to answer my question.
I think I just did, Judy.
She's gotten a little cross through the years.
Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia from the Star Wars Legends. She is 55 years old today. Ken Watanabe.
Hey!
Who most recently, I guess, was what? Insomnia? Not Insomnia. Inception? Is that
yes.
where we saw him?
Yes, I think so.
He was the businessman, the Japanese businessman.
Okay.
You don't know Japanese business, Kevin.
I do. I do know Japanese business.
He's 52 years old. Jeremy Miller of Growing Pains is 35. Kim Kardashian, reality TV star? I don't care much for this woman. But have you seen those Midori bus stop posters of her advertising campaign for Midori?
No.
Where she's in that green dress dancing for your amusement there at that party?
No, but I like it.
God, she's hot. Wow. Playboy hot.
She really is hot.
Sound she's down, not unattractive.
Way hot.
Yeah. She is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, it's Tim Armstrong. Healthy body, sick body. Move it, so
who's nicer than Tim Armstrong, Kevin? Anyone?
No.
I don't think so. Of course, Tim Armstrong from Rancid, Transplants, and just an all-around good guy. Living the punk rock dream. Joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tim, how you been, my friend? What's going on?
Good morning, you guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. I'm embarrassed to say that Tim told us when he came in that we haven't had him on the show with us in 4 years, which just doesn't seem possible, but time just flies by, I guess.
Yeah, I miss you guys.
See his shows too, occasionally and say hi and stuff, so I was shocked. I would have guessed 2 years. Yeah, I would have guessed a year, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but every time there's one of those shows, I go up and chat with you guys.
Yeah, you're the best.
And, yeah. Yes, I feel the same about you guys.
Not so Tim is here.
So that's nice.
Welcome to the multimedia world of the 21st century. Tim is here not to promote a new record, not to promote a tour, but to promote something on the internet that debuts today on Vevo.com. Right, Tim?
That's right. It's a show called Rock and Roll Theater, and it's a show I created, it's coming out today.
Now, I've seen the first episode, and I love it. It's just got a weird, unique look. It doesn't look or sound like anything else, but I have trouble explaining to people what it is. What do you say when that question comes up?
It's just kind of like a punk rock, Rocky Horror Picture Show, I guess, with all my homies, you know, Davey Havoc, who I've known since he was a teenager. Lars Ferrickson, my brother from Rancid. Fishbone, you know. And it's a wild party, man. You know, we're having fun. It's really fun, man. And we want to keep doing this, you know. Everyone's so busy, but when we got time, we're going to keep this going for sure. No doubt about it.
Well, first of all, we should back up one step and say Vevo is a place that people have been to or seen videos embedded in other sites. I mean, it's basically like a way better YouTube, right? It's a higher quality YouTube. Yeah. And this is the first time they've tried original programming. I mean, this is like you're coming in and talking about a new TV show debuting on a network. That's what this is. That's where we're at now,
yeah,
right?
That's great. And they've been so, so cool, man. Like, because we're the first scripted show they've ever done, they've stayed out of our way. Like, we turned this in, and they were like, yeah, this is cool.
Really?
Like, totally. Like, not one change at all.
Wow. Did they watch it?
Nah.
Now, there's a lot of original music in it. It looks like it took a tremendous amount of work to do.
Yeah, but, you know, the community I'm in is one that we've how do you say it? It's like we've done a lot of video, like rock video work. So we pulled in a lot of people we've been working with for years, you know.
People are good at it and can do it a lot quicker than.
Exactly. And I produce it with my buddy Dave R. And we've done dozens of videos together. From Rancid videos. And he's probably produced like 300 rock videos on his own.
Wow.
So was it from doing music videos that you kind of got bitten by the bug in terms of acting, writing, directing, all those things?
Yeah, you know, being around the whole video rock video process, it's a film crew. So you're it's kind of like your own private film school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how did you decide what the first Tim Time Bomb's Rock and Roll Theater episode was going to be about?
We want to do like a take on a classic, you know, like a classic novel or something. So we just make it into like a punk rock musical.
A current day version of it?
Yeah, yeah. We picked Dante's Inferno, and we made Dante into this kind of like corporate scumbag, kind of like this Wall Street bad guy. And that's played by Lars Fredriksson.
Now, there's a lot of music in it. Did you write all of the music?
Yes.
Because I know the other people sing on it, but you wrote all the songs.
Yeah, I wrote on the music. And
is that new for you? Not music, but that style of music?
Not because for me, it's similar to like the style of, You know, I've always been telling stories in my songs, you know. Uh-huh. Even going back to Operation Ivy, like Bad Town is basically like a story with a, like a linear little storyline. So, yeah, it's pretty much what I've always done, and just, you know, the songs just kind of tell the story, you know.
It's like watching a Broadway musical, though, when you see all the singing and the dancing and the choreography and the, you know, the big band behind it, sounds like in some of those songs. I mean, it's a lot bigger than writing for a punk band, that's for sure.
All right, thank you.
A lot of choreography. Happening. Let's talk.
I'm not quitting my day job. I'm still Rancid.
Good.
Rancid. Rancid's gonna be back in studio making another record, you know, and Transplants. So
I don't know who was involved in the casting, but it's been a long time since I've seen any 27-minute show with more hot chicks in it. I mean, seriously, Tim. Good work, my friend.
Thank you.
They're dancing. They're singing. All right, we've got a clip. Tim Armstrong is here in studio. The Tim Time Bomb's Rock and Roll Theater, as you've heard. This is big, big news debuting today on Vivo.com. Listen to this clip. This is the character you described, who's the Wall Street badass, who's being played by Lars. He's dead, and he goes to heaven. Or, excuse me, goes to hell.
Yeah.
And your friend Davey Havok ends up playing the devil, and they have an interesting conversation. Here's a little piece of it.
I have to tell you, I am very impressed by you. It's been a long time since I've seen a sinner of your caliber come down here.
I didn't commit any of these sins that you're talking about, okay? I only did what I had to do to survive.
And to survive, you had to what? Steal from the poor? Covet thy neighbor's wife? Do away with some competition permanent-like? And blah, blah, blah. There just isn't enough time to read them all. You've done such great work, Mr. Wilson.
He's so happy.
Has Davey done any acting before besides videos?
When we shot this like a while ago, I don't think he had done any acting yet. I think he's done something since, but I think the only thing he had done up until this was high school. In high school, he did some drama.
He's having such a great time in this, and he looks like he ought to be in a Tim Burton movie. I mean, he is a natural.
Yeah, he's so good at this, and he was really prepared too. Like, he knew, not only did he know his lines, he knew Lars's lines also.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Lars didn't know, really. I don't think Lars, Lars, my brother, and I'll die for him, he died for me, and I don't think he really knew what he was getting into. But Davey was super prepared. And
Tim, before we take a break and come back and talk some more with you, will this music be available anywhere else besides from people watching the videos
definitely.
On Vivo?
I think you could get the first song we did all right, the Lars' song, for free right now. And eventually it's going to probably end up on Hellcat Epitaph with my partner Brett Gurewitz.
Fantastic. Now, it says Vivo today. Is it up now? Is there a time that it launches, or do you know?
I think it's up right now.
It's up right
is
now?
It right now?
Okay.
Yeah, rock
he's
and asking. Roll.
It's up right now. So there you go.
Tim Time Bomb's Rock and Roll Theater. Tim Armstrong is here. We have we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back with. The band was opening up for Foo Fighters, didn't have a drummer. Dave Grohl said, "I'll drum." So he went out with them just before Foo Fighters came on. He's amazing.
He's good like that.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 7:24.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Movie Beat next hour. LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore Cousin Sal with the NFL picks. Right now we're hanging out with Tim Armstrong from the band Rancid and Transplants and just a punk rock legend in our studio here today talking about his new project called Tim Time Bomb's Rock and Roll Theater. Here's what you do, by the way. It's like a punk rock glee. That's how we've been describing it to our friends. You go to Vivo.com. And then you look right at the top there where it says, exclusive Tim's Time Bomb's Theater here. And then you go right below that and watch the new Rihanna video. Then you got yourself a party. That's now you got yourself a weekend.
Wait, you skip? Wait, did you watch that before Tim's?
No, you don't watch Tim's at all. You just watch the Rihanna video. And then when you're done with the Rihanna video, maybe then you go back and watch the Rock and Roll Theater. But yeah, Vivo, great site. And if you're just joining us, Tim was telling us about how the whole project came to be. Fancy stuff, man. I mean, it looks like a $1 million budget, but I bet you guys did this because you're, you know, punk rock guys. I bet you guys did this fast and on the cheap, I bet, huh?
Yeah, the whole thing is DIY. You know, we just did it ourselves. And, you know, we've had all of us who've been making these videos for a while, so we could, like, we know how to do it inexpensively. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The plot of the first one, you said you wanted to do a classic book, so you did Dante's Inferno. So it's a story of a guy who dies and goes to hell and finds out what hell's all about. You said you had another one filmed. What's the story behind that one?
We've got one called Susie Reanimated, and it's basically a punk rock version of kind of like the Bride of Frankenstein meets like Reanimator.
Sweet.
Nice. And will they go up once a week or once a month or how often?
We're trying to sort that out.
Okay, gotcha. Right. Tim wrote a bunch of new songs, really good stuff for this this project. At least episode one that we've seen so far is almost wall-to-wall music. And did you write those on an acoustic guitar like you would write a regular song?
Yeah, that's it. That's how they're all written, with this guitar I have right here.
Can't help but noticing you have that guitar right there. You want to do? Which you want to explain to people what the song is about first?
This is a song where they're talking about the antagonist and how he's a bad guy. Everything you touch turns to gold. For the sake of profit, it's lies you told. And you may look at me and say that I'm a joke. And I may look at you and think I'd rather be broke. I got everything I need right here. I got everything I need right here. I got everything right here. You may steal and cheat, climb as high as you can. For the sake of profit, it's lies and talk. I got everything I need right here. I got everything I need right here. I got everything right here.
It's a little sample.
Will those songs make the transition to the Rancid stage show? Would you ever play any of those songs in a regular show or no?
Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, the first song that Lars sings, I mean, that's basically, I mean, it sounds like a Rancid song.
Yeah,
you know?
right, yeah.
One of the ones where Lars would sing.
Well, yes. This is exciting. This is exciting. It's new. It looks different than anything else. Did you come up with what you wanted it to look like? It sort of looks like a little toy world, or is that the...
Yeah, that was a vibe. Let me make it
like that.
Like lo-fi, all lo-fi, like it's all done with like miniatures, rear projector, there's no CG, you know, everything's in camera, everything, whatever, you know, we just make these sets and put it in a black box kind of thing, you know.
You're like a little kid just playing. That's awesome.
That's it, man. It's fun. I'm telling you, it was one of the funnest things because, you know, I've always had fun making videos, so I knew what I was getting into.
You surround yourself with people you love.
I love all the people around me, and we just have a party. And
great. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, I want people to check it out at Vevo, VEVO.com. That's where you can go. And, Tim, you mentioned it briefly, but before you step out of here, so there's going to be another Rancid record next year. Is that what the plan is?
Yeah, a Rancid record next year and Transplants.
Next year.
Fantastic.
Full year.
Wow. So let's not make it another 4 years then before we have you in here. Hopefully we'll see you in 2012, all right, dude?
All right. Yeah, man. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Okay. I think you're right. Tim Armstrong is the happiest little guy in the world.
He really is.
And it doesn't seem like it's drugs. It just seems like the dude's high on life, man.
I've never in my life seen him in a bad mood, and you can't say that about very many people.
That's for sure. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. You call us, leave a message on the Kevin and Bean voicemail. The Kevin and Bean Afro line is at 323-520-AFRO. Then we play it back on the radio.
Beer mug's making an impression, and that's good with statements like this from the back of the room.
That's not brown rice.
So we can tell Beer Mug to shut the f*** up. We don't need to hear his laughter in the background after every other sentence, especially when it's not funny. God, what a douche.
Dude, you don't know how often we tell Beer Mug to shut the F up. It's not like that message isn't being sent. The problem is in its reception.
That's correct. It is being shared clearly, concisely, and I believe it's understood. And yet it's being discounted.
This message is directed towards Beer Mug. I'm so inspired by your recent commercial success, especially about Oktoberfest, which I really want to go to. In fact, I love it so much, I wrote a little song. I hope you don't mind. Here it goes. Shut the f*** Beer Mug, shut the f*** Beer Mug, shut the f*** Beer Mug, shut the f*** up, shut the f*** Beer Mug, shut the f*** Beer Mug, shut the f*** Beer Mug, shut the f*** up.
I love it.
Wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
It sure is, Beer Mug.
So, I've got to tell you, I had a pretty crappy day today. My girlfriend dumped me, I failed my exam, and I found out I had cancer. But do you know what makes it all better? The McRib is back, baby!
Oh, good news. I didn't realize that yet.
I Look, I love McDonald's.
Say it.
What?
Don't say.
What am I going to say?
It. You've never had it.
Well, you know I've never had the McRib.
Oh, Bean.
I don't eat the cows, but my point is, if the McRib is popular, why do they keep discontinuing it and then bringing it back? Why don't they just put it on the menu? People love the McRib. Just sell it year-round.
I am not privy to those meetings.
But, I mean, does anything make less sense? I mean, it would be like Coca-Cola coming out and going, hey, you know that Coca-Cola that you enjoy so much? Can't buy it for the next 8 months, but then it's coming back. What's, I don't understand that.
I don't know.
They're a smart company. Clearly, they know how to make money. Wouldn't they make more if they made the McRib available all the time?
Dude, you got me.
Okay.
You got me.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Well, I've been on the website again, and Miss Double December in her Halloween costumes. All I can say is, yankety, yank, 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 spap, pap, 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 pow.
I don't know what that means. What's he saying there, Bean?
I don't think you want to know, but I will tell you that there is a loud movement now afoot in this country to abolish the Miss Double December pageant and just make Christine the Miss Double December for life. She has won the hearts and minds of her people. I'll tell you that.
She does work it. I'll tell you that.
She sure does. She's awesome.
You can go to KevinandBean.com, KROQ.com to see pictures of her. A lot of reasons to go there, but she's got some good photos of
her. Hey, Kevin and Bean. I just saw pictures of Miss Double December dressed up as a pirate, and I wanted to volunteer plundering that booty, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean.
I don't believe we've got it.
No, I'm not sure. Everyone loves every song we play. I know that for a fact.
Kevin and Bean, stop playing pumped up kicks. If I hear it again, I'm going to go crazy.
Now, he doesn't trust us with that message, so he calls back.
Omar, seriously, if they play it again, enact your plan. Enact your plan. The time is now.
We always wondered what was going to set Omar and his people off with the time is now. Maybe it's one too many pumped up kicks.
Could be.
Having spooks behind my outside my window. Having spooks behind a tree.
Come on. How adorable is that? You hate Halloween spooks, correct, but listen to how happy it makes the little all kids, right.
I'll
Kevin.
Make you
come
a deal.
On.
I'll make you a deal. You play that instead of the original and all the time, and I'll be happy.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Ghostly things are going to happen.
So many little kids out there happy. It's the soundtrack to their season. Come on.
Right, but I'm saying let's replace that with this little
kid. Having spooks behind my, outside my window. Having spooks behind a tree.
It's pretty
come
adorable.
On, that's way better.
Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street. Nothing is going to happen.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Ralph, we were talking about the McRib a moment ago. I was asking why it's only available for limited times throughout the year. And a listener writes in and says, I don't know what they're putting in the McDonald's McRib, but on The Simpsons, that what they sell at the Krusty Burger could only be sold for a limited time because the animal it was made of could only be killed when it temporarily comes off the endangered species list. So maybe you ought to do some research into what's in the McRib and why it's suddenly not available.
They make it limited to make it special, to create your mania for it, your passion.
It's working.
Why do they put up velvet ropes in front of clubs and there's still room inside? Why do they make you wait outside in the line? Because it creates the buzz. It makes you feel special.
Okay, let me ask you this. If the McRib were available year-round, Kevin, do you think you would eat fewer of them than you do when it's available only part of the year?
No, I would eat more.
You'd eat more. Of course you would. That's what I'm saying. That's why it doesn't make any sense to me what they're doing with the McRib.
Because when it comes back, it becomes an event. If it was just on the menu every day, no one goes around saying, oh, Big Macs! Big Macs! No one screams at the top of their lungs. You know why? Because we all have the Big Macs every day, and we get used to it. This way, McDonald's gets a little buzz, a little bump, a little attention once in a while.
Okay.
It's the Shamrock Shake, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, the Shamrock Shake, I do look forward to every March. That is true, actually.
Shamrock Shake, Shamrock Shake.
All right, big hours straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Cousin Sal. He'll be talking all things NFL. Also, Ralph will have the movie beat for you, and we'll talk to the editor of Maxim Magazine next. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Okay, it looks like we finally have nailed down the complete cast of the next season of Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, fantastic. It's all been guesses up till now.
Yeah, we've heard rumors, innuendo. But now we have official reports of people who have seen the production sightings. People in New York who have been following around the cast and have seen them
you know, standing on the top of Trump Tower or something when Donald's explaining the next challenge.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
I need you all to make pizzas. So here's who we know. Faux show.
All right.
Teresa Giudice from The Real Housewives of New Jersey has speculated. She is on that list. Debbie Gibson, 80s singer-songwriter Debbie Gibson. Mm-hmm. We mentioned her before. Victoria Gotti, mob princess. Victoria Gotti, daughter of John.
Mm-hmm.
Tia Carrera, we haven't mentioned up to this point. But the lovely and talented Tia Carrera.
Yeah.
Aubrey O'Day from Danity Kane. Cheryl Teagues, we did mention. Diana.
Is this the former Mrs. Mark Anthony, former Miss Universe?
No, that's Dianora Torres. But this is okay. Diana Mendoza, who's a former Miss Universe as well.
Oh, okay.
Donald's all just right. Looking for a new wife.
Patricia Velasquez, who's a model.
Okay.
And Lisa Lampanelli. Foul-mouthed female comedian Lisa Lampanelli. Will be in the lineup as well. Look, she's nothing to look at, but she's guaranteed to stir up some mess.
She'll stir up some mess.
She will get in people's faces, and there will be altercations had. Here's the man.
Okay.
Clay Aiken.
He will be fired before the first episode. Credits are over.
Won't even wait till the end?
George Takei, as we mentioned, from Star Trek. Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. Marco Andretti of the Racing Andretti family. Paul Tootle from American Chopper.
Oh, yeah, Paul, okay.
He's the dad, I guess.
Right.
Because Junior is the other one on there, right? So he's been added to the list, which we didn't have. How about this one? Mr. Penn Jillette. How about Penn Jillette being in the lineup?
Interesting.
How about a guy named Adam Carolla? Adam Carolla. Hey! TV and radio host Adam Carolla.
He is, he used to be on Loveline, that
guy?
He
used to be on Loveline, that's right. Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, there it is.
Lou Ferrigno will also be on the show as well.
Look, What's-Her-Face was super deaf and almost won the damn thing.
Marley Matlin.
Marley Matlin.
Yeah. Lou's only partially deaf.
Mm-hmm. But he's strong.
Oh, like the Hulk, he's strong.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's your lineup for Celebrity Apprentice. I'm encouraged.
I'm in.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
All right, Donald, we get it. You're very proud.
But I will tell you, you never know how these things are going to play out. Like, I didn't care that Mark McGrath was on last season. I thought he was very entertaining to watch. I mean, sometimes you just don't know until the show airs who you're going to like.
He's a douchebag. I really thought he was a douchebag on that show.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't seem like a debate. Wow.
Puffed up freaking douchebag.
Thought he worked hard?
What's wrong with you?
Linda Lohan!
Just got word. She has arrived at the morgue this morning early. Early for her community service hours.
Okay.
She is on site for her community service. So yesterday she showed up at the morgue late, 40 minutes late. And they said, you know what? Go home. Try again tomorrow. Get here when you can be here on time. But really, if you're going to be late to any place, the morgue, those people aren't going anywhere. You have to get these people in and out. It's not a hair salon. They don't have appointments after they get out of there.
I think that judge is probably waiting at the front door of every place she's supposed to be. That judge is really angry at her.
I think that these places that have to deal with these probationers too a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
I think they have a very short tolerance for asshattery, you know? They just, look, you got to play by the rules because we don't really have time to deal with you people. So she stuck her lesson yesterday, took it to heart, and she actually showed up early this morning, but apparently she is on site at the morgue and she's ready to do her duties, apparently one of which is she will be responsible for washing all of the corpse fluid stained sheets that lay on the autopsy tables.
Oh.
When they remove the bodies, those sheets have to be laundered. Apparently that would be part of her responsibility when she is working there.
That doesn't sound good.
They say the smell in the morgue, in that room especially, has knocked a strong man to his feet.
That isn't good for you.
So imagine if a strong man goes down to his knees, imagine what Lindsay Lohan will do.
Yeah,
right.
Because, you know, she goes to her knees quite easily.
She's going to have some time to reflect on maybe how the women's shelter wouldn't have been such a bad deal for her to actually show up to.
Yep. Yeah. Too much effing perspective. And I'm concerned
about.
I'm given pause by this news. Part of me is very excited. The geek in me is very excited. But the other part of me is dubious.
All right.
Oh, yes, I must say I'm dubious. Universal Pictures has announced they are doing yet another reboot of the reboot of Battlestar Galactica. This time, a major motion picture based on Battlestar Galactica. Bryan Singer reportedly has signed on to direct the film. And the feature film will, of course, once again feature the humans from the long-lost colony on another planet trying to find Earth while being chased by a race of robots known as the Cylons. So, here's my take. 70s Battlestar Galactica, cheesy good time. Those of us who liked it remembered it with a fondness because of its sort of cheesiness, right? Then sci-fi said, we're going to reboot it. Everybody said, oh, pish-posh, that's a silly idea. And then they did this amazing series.
It was great, yeah.
Great. How many times can you go back to this well? And do you really want to follow the triumph it was on television with a feature film and with people's expectations now so high? He had no expectations coming off the 70s version, right? Then this one, everyone loved. Now you're going to have a movie that's going to be compared as well.
And it's a reboot, so it's not like you're going to take the characters from the successful television show and put them up on the big screen. They're going to start over again, a la Star Trek, right?
You're not bringing Eddie James Olmos back into the fold,
right?
You know?
And he's on Dexter.
He's busy murdering people over in Dexter. He's got a full plate. Today's celebrity birthdays, Judy Shineland. Her name is probably not as familiar to you as her TV name, Judge Judy. 69 years old today.
That's baloney.
No, it's true.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it does. You're 69. Looked it up. Carrie Fisher from Star Wars fame is 55 years old today. Ken Watanabe celebrates his 52nd birthday. Jeremy Miller of Growing Pains is 35. Kim Kardashian celebrates her 31st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So it's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph will be along with the Movie Beat in minutes talking about Paranormal Activity 3 or 4 or 8, whatever the hell we're up to here. Plus, LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore. Right now, though, how about our friend Joe Levy back on the phone? He is the Maxim Editor-in-Chief. Maxim Magazine survives while all others fall away. Joe, welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
I am very well. How are you, gentlemen?
Very well as well. Well.
You're not still doing your dumb karaoke show, whatever it was you were talking about a couple of months ago, are you?
My genius show on ABC television, Karaoke Battle USA, which has made me a billionaire. No, it was like 2 months ago.
No, that got canceled or something, right?
It wrapped up. Hey, hey.
That's what I meant. I mean, it wrapped up another successful season, but it'll be coming back
and
next
I'm gonna
year.
I'm going to tell you right now with a certain amount of pride that we selected, we need to move on quickly after this, the karaoke king and queen of the United States, and our queen won a world karaoke competition.
All right.
So if there's one thing I know, it's when somebody sings, whether they're good or not.
USA! Exactly. I hope you got thanked in her acceptance speech. So, congratulations.
I wasn't in Ireland for the competition, but I can only presume, as in all acceptance speeches, that somebody thanked me. Did you know I was God?
Congratulations.
Congratulations on that
well,
as well.
You are God as the editor-in-chief of Maxim magazine because you never fail to disappoint. And here's the thing. I was thinking about it as I was perusing the current issue, the issue that's on newsstands now, which I guess is November. The beautiful thing about Maxim is we'll never run out of hot girls who turn 18. You have an unlimited supply every year they make new ones, right?
That is true. That is true, yes.
Tell us
Even
about Jessica.
Now, people are practicing.
Tell us about Jessica Gomez. I've never heard of her.
Jessica Gomez. Okay,
Gomes. So
you are talking about an Australian model of Portuguese and Chinese descent who you may have seen in Maxim a year or two ago, and some astute viewers of the magazine world will remember her from the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Oh, I didn't realize she was in that as well.
If anyone listening has recently gotten here from Korea, they may remember her from the Korean version of Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, so she's a big international star, and now you're making her famous in America.
She is a huge swimsuit model. Huge, and by huge, I mean huge. And I think you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
and you're correct.
She is an enormously beautiful, very funny, very cool Australian supermodel of the swimsuit world. And yes, we have put her on our cover because it's November and I need something to be thankful about.
I hear you. And we're all thankful for her. I'll tell you that right now.
beautiful photographs inside. I don't love the cover photo. Joe, obviously, you signed off on it, right? I mean, she's very pretty.
And oddly, when somebody shows me a picture of a beautiful woman dousing herself with water from a hose on the beach in Malibu,
she is hosing herself.
Maybe we'll use that one.
Yeah, that's...
Look, I'm not saying you didn't make the right decision. I'm just saying it doesn't do her justice compared to how stunning she is inside the magazine. And I think that's a win-win for all of us there. What about Eddie Murphy's daughter? I didn't realize she had grown up so well.
Eddie Murphy's daughter, Bria, is inside the pages of Maxim. Again, utilizing bikini technology.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing involved in that shoot is a Doberman. He's on a leash, as some of you, you know, basically you'd have to be on a leash if you were near this girl. Very beautiful. I don't believe anyone will have seen her before, but she is now trying to break out in the modeling world, she is quite lovely.
Do you have scouts that are just driving around looking for hot chicks that you go up to and say, hey, call me and be in Maxim? How do you find these people for your magazine?
Well, you know, I will say we do have a talent booker whose job it is to peruse photographs. She has a very, very difficult job. I could not give a guy that job because I think it would actually kill him.
Joe Levy,
I think you're right.
Editor Maxim. I picture you sitting on a throne, and then they bring models in, and you either have their heads off or you put them in the magazine. Does that happen?
I'm not sure what you mean by heads off, but everything else is correct.
So I'm reading an article, and I know that's
good
hard
for
to,
you.
It's
good for you.
It's hard to imagine that I would read an article, but in Maxim, they have Man of Honor. Which is Dakota Meyer, the first living Marine to receive the Medal of Honor. And it's a super serious story, and it gives some amazing details about what he did in battle.
And it's all in his own words. It's his story of what happened when Dakota Meyer won the Medal of Honor, this incredible story of him trying to rescue his comrades in Afghanistan and actually disobeying direct orders. They were telling him, you can't go in there, you can't go in there. And his feeling is, my brothers, my comrades are in there. I don't know what happened. I'm getting on this Jeep and I'm driving in.
They were calling for air support, and the air support was going, nope.
Yes, so that's like, exactly right. They called the air support, and the air support said, we can't get in there. There's too much fighting. So they were trying to get these para-jumpers, these guys who jump out of helicopters. We met Dakota a little more than a year ago in this competition that we do with elite veterans. It's called Maximum Warrior.
Right.
That's in this issue, too. But we met him then. He's an incredibly impressive, incredibly nice guy. He told us his story then. This is a year or so before he won the Medal of Honor. And we've kept in touch with him. We knew that the Medal of Honor was a possibility for him. And the minute they told him, well, you know what? The president's on the phone.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Super impressive. And it's a little of a bummer because he'd rather not.
When the president was on the phone, I was oiling my tractor.
Sure.
Not a euphemism, by the way. He literally was oiling his tractor.
That is correct.
It's a little bit of a bummer in that he says, and rightfully so, he'd rather have his friends than the Medal of Honor. And so, you know, you're a little bummed, and then you turn the page and you go, all right, four chicks in red, white, and blue bikinis, I'm back, everything's good.
I'm back, right.
Stars and Stripes and Max.
Those
really...
four ladies in red, white, and blue bikinis are part of a special issue we're doing. It's going to be on stands in November called Maxim Salutes the Military. Each woman agreed to represent one branch of the service.
Fantastic.
Nice. Yep.
You're doing good work. That's all
you
I
are
know.
Doing, and I don't, and I mean this as a, well, I don't think you could take it any other way as a compliment, Joe, but honestly, for me, Maxim has now become Playboy for my generation. You don't technically show nipples because you can't, but in terms of the quality of the photos and in terms of the quality of the articles and interviews that you do, I mean, it's first rate. The John Cryer interview, very funny, talking about 2.5 Men. The Andrew Breitbart article, the man who single-handedly is going to bring down President Obama next year. Fascinating interview with him. You guys are really doing quality journalism on top of the chicks, and I want to applaud you for that.
Yes, and you know what? Right over the door every day when I come in is our motto, quality journalism on top of the chicks. That is our motto.
That's the greatest motto ever.
By everyone here in a very different way, but we get the job done.
Sure.
The issue is November 2011, Maxim, on newsstands now. Jessica Gomes is the world's hottest swimsuit model. She's on the cover, and you can go to kevinamine.com right now. Kevin, did you have something to do with putting together this beautiful gallery?
I did not, but David.
Oh, my God, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's strong.
And it's all sorts of photos from Maxim, but definitely pick up the issue and go to Maxim online as well. Have a great month, Joe. We'll do it again next time. Thanks so much for coming on.
Gentlemen, good to talk to you.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show means Ralph Garman steps in for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Welcome to my world, bitches. The world where you do not go to see the movies and then review them. Take other people's hard work that they've put their blood, sweat, and tears into and then ignore it and yet judge it nonetheless.
That's my world. Just based on your initial reaction
on my gut. I saw a trailer or two. I've seen the commercials.
How many people can do that?
Here is exactly what you can expect from this film. First up in the pipeline is The Mighty Max. This is a small-budget, feel-good movie for children of all ages about a young man played by David Boreanaz of Bones fame.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was also on Buffy, too. He plays a coach at a tiny, all-girls Catholic college. He plays the basketball coach.
Right.
And the team has no gym, no uniforms. The school itself is in danger of being sold, and yet coach is able to steer the girls to their first national championship. True story.
Is it a true story?
I don't know. Oh. Maybe. But I think it would be a lot more compelling if it was. So I'm just going to assume that it is.
All right.
The Mighty Max. And here's a scene where David Boreanaz, as Coach Rush, is telling his wife that his team, they've got some problems.
I am not unhappy.
You don't sound too happy right now.
I'm frustrated. It's different.
Because you're trying too hard to change these girls, Kathy, and they don't want it.
It's not that they don't want it. Is that they have been told for so long that they can't have it, that they can't even imagine wanting it.
But they do want it. Yeah.
Okay.
They're Catholic girls who want it. That's how I would sell this movie. They missed out. Put that line on the poster.
Catholic girls who
and
want it.
All Catholic girls school where all the girls want it, but they don't know how bad they want it. But now they know they want it. Blockbuster, $100 million.
Maybe a little longer.
And you said they have no uniforms either. That's so already. Right.
They have no uniforms and no shame. Catholic schoolgirls who want it, but they didn't know that they wanted it until they got it. The Mighty Max. Anyway. Johnny English is back. Did you miss him?
I don't know who that is.
Johnny English is a British comedy that is a spoof of the James Bond movies. We don't get nearly enough James Bond movie spoofs these days, I think.
Okay.
Johnny English was played by Rowan Atkinson. Of course, Mr. Bean was also a popular series.
Okay.
Yeah. The Johnny English film was a good-sized hit over in the UK especially, so they brought him back. Johnny English Reborn is the name of the sequel. Rowan Atkinson returns as super spy Johnny English. Rosamund Pike is in this movie. Oh, man, I love me some Rosamund Pike.
I'll look her up.
You should. Dominic West, very talented actor. Gillian Anderson, also in this film.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Comedy features Rowan Atkinson, as I mentioned, taking on a international assassins organization that's trying to hunt down the Chinese premier, and James Bond-esque secret agent Johnny English is the only thing standing between the Chinese premier and death. As, of course, every good Bond spoof has, there's always the gadget guy, right? Like
sure.
The Q, who puts together the secret weapons for the spy. Here's a scene where Rowan Atkinson is talking to his gadget guy.
Patch Quatermain, the man himself.
English.
Please, don't get up.
No chance of that. Lost them, testing the B6 exploding brogues.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How are you?
Have to be this one, I'm afraid. Lost this to the D10 doorbell.
Well, it's great to see what's left of you.
See, he keeps testing his gadgets and his arms and legs keep getting blown off.
That sounds funny.
That's funny!
Sounds very British.
I like Rowan Atkinson. He's a funny dude. The Three Musketeers is back. A lot of movies have been made about this book.
It's true.
Three Musketeers, of course. Kevin, you know the names of the Three Musketeers, right?
Please.
Just give them to me real quick. Just the Three Musketeers.
Jerry?
No, Jerry was one of them.
Barry and Larry.
Jerry, Barry, and Larry.
Those are the three.
Were the Three Musketeers. I believe it was Athos, Porthos, and Aramis.
For $1 million, I couldn't have told you that.
I could have done it for $10 million.
And of course, the young man D'Artagnan, who wants to join the Musketeers.
Ralph, I was somewhere the other day. And
oh, good. You're somewhere. I'm glad you're here.
And a man was yelling after his kid who was running, and the kid's name was D'Artagnan. He was calling out across the space, D'Artagnan, come back here, D'Artagnan.
That's an effed up name for a kid.
And I don't know that I had ever heard of a real person named D'Artagnan, but of course everybody knows the name because of this book and movie.
What do you call him, Darty?
I don't know.
His nickname. Dart?
Is that bizarre?
Hey, Dart, come over here. This looks like a big budget, blown up version of the story. I love these movies. I love these swashbuckler movies. I love the sword play and all that kind
of
stuff.
So a lot of action.
I am looking forward to this film. Not to mention that Mila Jovovich also is added to the cast in this particular one. As sort of a female ass kicking adventurer that joins the Musketeers in their attempt to seize the French throne, to keep the French throne from being seized and from engulfing Europe in war. Great cast. Christoph Waltz is in this, Ray Stevenson, Matthew McFadden. Here is Matthew McFadden, who plays Athos in the film, trying to figure out a plot to break into the Tower of London.
We have to cross three stone walls and a moat, and it's just a couple of hundred highly trained soldiers with a predilection for not being robbed. We go in broad daylight, one man hiding in plain sight. And you, D'Artagnan, you're the wild card. We are the decoys. Now, we'll try and create a distraction, keep them occupied, keep them away from you as much as possible, but ultimately, it's down to you. You wanted to be a musketeer. You want to serve France. This is your chance.
Yeah! I can't wait. You get the swords. Ching, 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 ching. Everybody jumping and leaping and swinging on stuff. Oh, I love the Musketeer movies. Do you ever see the ones from the 70s or 80s?
I've seen some of them.
With
I
Michael
like
York and Oliver Reed.
I don't know.
And they did a remake then with Oliver Platt and I think
Kevin Costner was in the.
No, that was a Robin.
What I remember from the night.
Oh, that's what you're thinking of.
Same thing.
Wow, you're off the beam today, Bean. Considerably.
No, I am. I'm barely awake.
Anyway, love this story. This movie looks like a great version of it. I'm definitely going to check it out this weekend. And Paranormal Activity, of course, it is Halloween time. That means we're going to see a spate of horror films coming our way. And so Paranormal Activity 3 is the first of that genre hitting theaters this weekend. This is a prequel to the original. So it takes us back to the 80s where you see the girl who was haunted in the first film. You see her as a little girl, and even then she was being haunted by the spirit that followed her throughout her life.
Love it.
Here are some clips from the trailer to Paranormal Activity 3.
Something's going on.
Maybe it is.
Do the knocking game you showed me, remember? How do you do it?
I don't know, ask her.
I really like that trick.
It's not a trick. You've been doing it all day.
There was something in the house.
Christy's like connected.
A real-life poltergeist.
Hey, Christy.
I saw you talking to somebody.
I know. He's very sweet. He's my friend.
I don't see him.
Standing right next to you.
Honey, he's not there.
Advertising this with some slug line, Ralph. Maybe you've seen it. The last 15
she
minutes.
She didn't know she wanted it until she wanted
no,
it.
No, no, no. Is that it? The last 15 minutes will screw you up for the rest of your life,
all
is
right.
What they're saying.
Well, that's quite the guarantee.
Please enjoy.
Yeah, there you go. Paranormal Activity also in theaters this week. And for me, I'm going to put on a giant hat with a big feather in it, grab my saber
and
my
Robin
cutlass,
Hood?
And I am going to Three Musketeers.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's Three Musketeers. Robin Hood was the other one. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:39.
So you're already looking forward to Snooki on Monday's show, Kevin, as our very special guest? Is that what you're telling me?
She's an author, don't you know?
Yeah, she's written yet another book, if you can believe it. Hey, Fridays on the Kevin and Bean Show mean a bunch of things. We just had the movie beat. LaQuisha will be reviewing last night's Jersey Shore season finale on MTV, speaking of Snooki. And we also like to catch up with Jimmy Kimmel's actual cousin, Sal, who talks NFL football. Sal, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you feeling?
What's happening, fellas? Feeling great with these picks lately.
You have been on fire. Hey, real quick, before we talk about the picks for the weekend and recap last week, tell me how this whole Carson Palmer Raiders thing happened, because that kind of came out of the blue for me and seems like a major, major upgrade for Oakland. What's up?
You know, what happened was Cincinnati was standing firm. They were not going to trade Carson Palmer. They said, this guy is going to die with this team. Screw him. We hate him. He's got a real attitude problem. And there's nothing we can get that would be worth it to trade for him. And Lo and behold, Al Davis passes away, and the Raiders mortgage their entire future for Carson Palmer, who hasn't played in a year and a half. And I joked yesterday that I got an update from heaven, and the Indians who sold Manhattan for $24 were laughing in Al Davis' face for giving up potentially two first-round picks for Carson Palmer. They could have gotten McNabb probably for a fourth rounder, or Kyle Orton for a fifth rounder, and Carson Palmer. You just need a serviceable quarterback in there. It doesn't.
You don't think it was an upgrade for Oakland at all? Then you think they made a big mistake?
Oh yeah, I think there were many, many other options that didn't require them mortgaging their entire future. So.
Mm.
Yeah. But I think he'll be fine, and I mean, that wasn't the issue. It's just that they spent too much, and
right.
I think they'll be okay.
Interesting. All right, well, you're bragging, and rightfully so. What happened last week? 2-0-1? Pretty nice.
Yes. What was my loser? I can't remember.
It was the New York and Buffalo tying. You had New York minus three, I guess.
Loss. Yeah, and I know, Kevin, you hated that Cowboys pick, but so close once again.
Yep, it was.
Stomped on my heart, but I like... I like the slate this week, and excuse me if I seem a little delirious, because I banged my head hard on the asphalt somersaulting off the Panthers bandwagon this morning. But they're fun. They're fun if you have Cam Newton on your fantasy squad, but betting on this team is way too dangerous. And I looked at my local newspaper at the standings. I don't know if you get this. The Panthers are 1-5. So, but now betting on the Redskins team boasting John Beck as their quarterback isn't much better, but I don't think he's going to need to do much. Carolina ranks 31st against the run, ground and pound before last week. That's how the Skins were winning. Washington's defense steps it up in an otherwise ho-hum game, 23-16. The Redskins over the Panthers take the 2.5 points.
Right. I don't know anything about Beck. He was like the invisible man to me when he was promoted. Is he any good?
No, I think he was was on Miami a few years ago. He got a start in there, and I don't know. It is a little weird. I mean, Rex Grossman, before last week, you know, they were in first place, so... I don't know about the change, but I also don't think they're going to need to do so much there.
Okay, so you've got the Redskins plus 2.5 over the Panthers. Now, why is there an NFL game in the middle of the season in England?
They are really trying hard to get a team out there, man. You may see the Jacksonville or the London Jaguars. I guess, yeah, they wouldn't call them Jacksonville. They moved all the way out there eventually.
Yeah.
But they're really trying hard. And the Buccaneers, like, I guess they're presented with an opportunity. They could draw 10,000 less than a sellout in Tampa, or they could get to Wembley Stadium and sell 75,000 tickets and merchandise and all that. Tampa sacrifices their home game, goes to London. But mostly this is what happened. The teams are like almost impossible to figure out. It's Bears and Bucks. Tampa, if you guys have been watching, they get smoked by San Francisco. Then they beat up on the Saints. The Bears have big games where they're playing with like one offensive lineman. Then last week they come out like a dynamo against the Vikings. Commissioner Goodell has had enough of the Jekyll and Hyde nature and banished the teams to London for a week. Hopefully they'll settle down. I think overall the Bears are a better team. Their pass protection is their biggest issue. Not a factor this week. Tampa has no sacks in the last two games. Chicago wins 20-13. They're the winner. But the truth is, America's a winner if a player from either team impregnates Pippa Middleton. I really
hope. Right about that. I hope that happens.
Can you bet on that?
I think you can.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I can't imagine how disrupting that would be. I bet no players are excited about having to get on a plane and fly to London to play in front of that crowd.
No, it can't be good. It can't be
good. Are you joking about London having a football team in the NFL?
They are. They really are looking
What a crappy schedule that would be for travel.
I know it would be terrible, but they'd have to work it around the bye weeks for all the teams. But, yeah, not fun.
Wow.
Not fun at
all. All right, and finally, you've got Jacksonville plus 8 over Baltimore. Tell me about that.
Forget the plus 8. I've come close or won with these upset specials. I like this one a lot. The Ravens have won 4 in a row. The Jags have lost 5 in a row. It makes sense to stick with the trends, right? I'd be crazy to take Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's
yes. Yes, I am.
You're falling on a sword here.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
I have a hunch. The Ravens just don't get up for this one. Jags rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert's been serviceable. He's thrown a touchdown pass in like his last four games. Maurice Jones-Drew, big day on the ground. Hear me now. Thank me later. Jaguars win this one Monday night, 17-16. Take the 8 points.
Wow.
I like to mock you for your enthusiasm, but more often than not, you have been coming through. And I have to give you immense credit for the proposition bet that you put on Grantland.com last week. That was 30-1 that you were right about.
Yes, I had the Bears to be. You could bet which team is going to score the most points in the league. And the Bears were 30-1 to be the high-scoring team, and they demolished the Vikings. Yeah, I can get lucky sometimes. Snooki wrote a book, for God's sake.
All right, Cousin Sal, those are great picks for the week. You can go to grantland.com, of course, and see that, and look for Sal's hilarious stuff on Jimmy Kimmel's TV website as well. Have a fantastic weekend, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
All right, fellas. Take care.
How about some showbiz beat now? Ralph Garman joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
We're back. We're back from the successful Hometown Hero Tour. Kevin Smith and I are back in town this weekend.
It wasn't a tour.
We traveled extensively.
How many shows?
Well, I don't think it's important. I think
how
what's
many,
important
though,
is
many
the, were there? The, we were it was we had to go cross country.
How many were there?
There was
one.
There was one. There was right. one show. How many shows do you need to have a tour? Is there some sort of law? Is there some written law?
I think it's more than one.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Are you the captain of the tours?
Are
you tour master general?
I'm the tour captain.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
We're at the Lovitz Podcast Theater tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
It's Friday. Thursday,
then Friday. Saturday comes after Friday.
And then what comes after
Sunday
that?
Sunday comes afterwards.
All right.
Yeah. Saturday night, 10 p.m. tomorrow night, me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon at the Lovitz up at City Walk at Universal. Come see us. TheLovitz.com is where you can go for more details. This makes me very excited. Matthew Vaughn, who is a great director, especially when it comes to the geek stuff that I love. He gave us X-Men First Class, which I thought was really excellent. He gave us Kick-Ass. Which I thought was great.
I agree.
And now he's making a new comic book movie based on currently one of my favorite comic books. Hasn't even finished its run yet. It's a limited edition graphic novel run. But they've already got the film rights going, and he's going to be the director, which is very exciting. It's called Superior. It's about a kid who has multiple sclerosis who's a comic book fan, and he goes to this movie, Superior, based on this comic book character, Superior, who's kind of like Superman. And he just loves this character, and he gets a chance to become his hero, Superior, given to him by a monkey in a spacesuit, gives him a magic wish.
That old plot line?
I'm sorry. A monkey in a spacesuit comes to him in the middle of the night and says, look, cripple boy, I'll let you become
your hero. How does the monkey in the spacesuit get that power?
Magic! Gives him a chance to become his lifelong hero, Superior, and actually fight crime.
Yeah.
And so he takes him up on it. And then there's some twists and turns that I won't spoil for you, but I'm just saying. When I was reading the comic, I said, this would make an awesome movie. And I said, I'm going to buy the rights and direct it myself.
And then you realize you can't do either of those.
And I realized I don't have any money or talent. But Matthew Vaughn has both, and apparently now he is going to be directing Superior, which is very exciting news for my geek people out there. So
I appreciate you not spoiling what happens in the story, because I was going to run out immediately and buy that book about the monkey in the spacesuit.
You weren't, but you should. You scoffed.
Sounds great,
but you would love it. I'm telling you, you would love it. Especially, let's say you're a 12-year-old kid, and suddenly you're in the body of a 35-year-old superhero, and you can fly and do all the stuff that Superman can do. What do? How do you handle
it? It beats multiple sclerosis. I'll tell you
that's right. You can walk around on those crutches, or you can be a superhero. So those are your options.
I'm in.
All right,
just saying. Good stuff. More geek news. Universal has announced they're doing a Battlestar Galactica movie for the big screen. The movie will have no connection to the TV show that was wildly popular on Sci-Fi, nor the original that was on back in the 70s. They're doing a reboot of the Battlestar Galactica story, and Bryan Singer apparently signed up to direct that film. So we got that going for us.
I'm happy to say that. I don't even get that.
I don't know if that's a good choice or not.
It gets better.
I don't know.
Does it?
I'm not sure.
We'll have to wait
and see. That was a pretty good TV show.
Top DVD sales and rentals are in for last week. I was surprised. Top DVD sales. Let's go through that first. Bridesmaids was number 5.
Okay.
Then Zookeeper. People are buying Zookeeper on DVD. They didn't get enough of it. They need to have it in their home so they can watch Kevin James talk to a gorilla whenever they get the urge.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
Fast Five was third in terms of sales. Green Lantern was second in DVD sales. And then Horrible Bosses, number 1. More people buying Horrible Bosses than any other DVD.
I'm a little... Look, I'll watch a lot of movies, especially if they're on cable or whatever. I don't need to own everything. I'm a little more particular when it comes to buying things. Like, I can't imagine most of those wanting to own them, Rob.
No. Why would you want to see that more than once?
I mean, I'll see Horrible Bosses one day. I don't have anything against it, but I don't need it in my collection.
That's why God created cable.
Right.
Weird. Did God create cable?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
Sure. Cool.
Videos are similar. Green Lantern was fifth. Transformers, Dark of the Moon was fourth. Then Zookeeper again, Fast Five. And Horrible Bosses, once again, topping that list as well. People love Horrible Bosses. Not the actual Horrible Bosses themselves, but the movies about them.
Sure.
Celebrities Apprentice cast. Looks like it's been locked in. We know what's what. This is from multiple reports based on production sites in New York City where they're currently filming the show. Teresa Giudice from Real Housewives of New Jersey is on the list. Debbie Gibson, singer and songwriter. Lisa Lampanelli, comic and Sasquatch, also part of the cast. Victoria Gotti of the Mobster Gotti family. Tia Carrera, actress and singer. Aubrey O'Day from Dana DeCane. Cheryl Teagues, former supermodel. Diana Mendoza, former Miss Universe, and Patricia Velasquez, the model, also on the list.
Really sexing it up.
They are really, yeah, they're...
I'm fine with it, but that's a clear...
They're stacking the deck when it comes to babes.
It really is.
For the guys, Clay Aiken. I'm sorry, I meant one last woman, Clay Aiken. Then for the men...
Ryan Gosling.
Arsenio Hall. The people love him.
They do love him.
Arsenio Hall. The people love him.
He just needs the work at this point, though, right? That's what he's on for.
Yeah. Arsenio Hall.
Oh, God, play it.
The people love him.
All right, hang on. I was moving on to this something else.
He doesn't want
to
play it because it's him.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. I had something else going here, so.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
I thought it had been covered.
It hadn't been covered. Now it's been covered.
We could play it again right now. I'd be fine.
The people love him, Arsenio Hall.
All right, hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man. It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you, Arsenio
Hall, folks. The people love him.
I was working on something. Let's not work on something else. Just to listen to the show.
Donald Trump comedy.
All
that's
right.
What I
well,
had
fine.
Loaded.
You can do that a little bit later.
Okay.
Adam Carolla, our buddy Adam Carolla, is going to be on the show. That should be fun.
That will be great.
He won't get along with anyone.
I agree. That'll be awesome.
And he will want to tell everyone what to do, and he will not take orders.
Here's
well.
My take.
I don't think I should be doing that. That's not in my wheelhouse.
Lou Ferrigno.
Hulk.
He's going to be in the cast. George Takei. Sulu.
Yeah.
Dee Snider. Twisted Sister. Penn Jillette. Magic.
He's got to win, right? He's the smartest guy in any room.
He is the smartest guy, yeah. Marco Andretti of the Driving Andrettis, and Paul Tootle from American Chopper. That's your cast for American Idol.
Is it real?
Celebrity Apprentice. I believe it is real. Yes, Donald, I believe it's real. Do I have time to give away passes here? No, I don't. But in 45 minutes, I'll be giving away more passes for the Rum Diary. How about that? Give you a reason to come back.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Judy Scheinlin. She's Judge Judy, 69 years old today. Carrie Fisher's 55 years old. Ken Watanabe.
Hey!
Most recently from... Indonesia? No.
Inception?
Inchon? Insomnia? I knew it was in something. 52 years old today. Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains, 35 years old. And Kim Kardashian.
Come on.
Apparently trouble in paradise in her marriage already. I cannot wait to laugh!
How could it be?
She's 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
They sure teased us around the time of L.A. Rising that there might possibly be a new Rage Against the Machine song coming soon, but so far nothing has come to fruition. What's it been? Over 10 years
since
they released it? Yeah, mm-hmm. Well. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show, folks, here on a Friday. LaQuisha takes a look at last night's Jersey Shore every week, but we may not hear from you for a while, LaQuisha. I understand last night was the season finale of Jersey Shore in Italy. You must be so happy.
Hallelujah. I have a dream. A dream where I no longer have to watch this awful-ass show for you people any longer.
I'd like to remind you this was your idea.
It was 4 years ago.
All right. All
right.
Not and like every time. Oh, it's back on. Let's give her a call again. No.
Okay. First of all,
free
what do you...
Free at last.
First of all, I object very much to you referring to us as you people. I'm not sure what you mean by that. But second of all, they already have the next season in the can. Any word on when MTV will start to air those?
I do not know, but I know that I will be out of town.
Nope.
I see.
I'll be out of the country.
We're
going to
call you the day after it airs.
I will be in Italy when it's airing.
Hopefully it'll air next week and we'll be able to talk to you next week.
No.
That would be great.
All right, well, we spoke with you last week. There was a lot of drama in the house. Everybody's mad at the situation. Apparently, Snooki's sleeping with everybody. She's got trouble at home. What's going on? What's the update, LaQuisha?
Yeah, the situation. He feels like he's on the outside now with everybody in the house. And so he has to pout. but not quietly like most of us pout. He's got to pout publicly, so he gets on the phone with his sister in front of everybody and has a phone call with her in his subtle, passive-aggressive way of letting the other roommates know that he may be on his way out.
I'm not going back to Jersey.
Why? That's silly.
No. It's just the way it is. It's just...
The biggest thing you don't want to do is regret.
I'm not the type of person that has regrets. I make my decisions and I move forward.
That's right. He's going to move forward with the rest of his career.
Which
as
is...
As what?
Which
as,
is what?
As taking the tolls on the Jersey Turnpike? What are you going to do if you're not on this badass show situation?
Yeah.
So he's just sitting back waiting for everybody to say, oh, no, situation, please don't leave, don't leave. We need you. Please come to Jersey with us for the next season. Nobody says a goddamn thing when he says I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So what they have to do then is go drinking. Everybody go drinking.
Let's go drink.
So they all go to this nightclub in Italy, one of the last nights there. But it is very hot at this nightclub. It is very sultry and warm and humid. And Dina... And Snooki, being all short and fat, they can't take the heat, so they got to get out of the club. And they're out there in the sidewalk walking to another club feeling much refreshed.
Oh, I love the breeze. This is wonderful. Down there, it was like a freaking basement. I was getting boob sweat. I was getting, like, cooker sweat, ass sweat.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Do we need to know what parts of her fat ass body is sweating?
No.
No,
really
we do not, sir. Now, here's the thing. They've been in Italy, I don't know, 2 months, whatever. They're about to leave the next day. They say, you know, we never saw anything in Florence. Maybe we should take a sightseeing trip.
Good.
So Vinny and Pauly, they get on the phone with a tour guide and start asking them about what tour they should take in there in Florence.
What do you prefer between art and history?
Hold on, let me check. What do you guys like better, art or history?
Yeah, right. It's like asking a dog, do you want to learn geometry or trigonometry? Which subject would you prefer? Dog, that just turn your head and look at me sideways with your ears up?
Yeah.
Stupid people. Well, they're getting ready to go on this tour, and Situation's still asking everybody, hey, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be around. What do you think? Hey, I'm not going to be in Jersey with you guys. What do you think? And he's getting disappointing answers everywhere.
I thought Snooki would tell me to stay. Here in Florence, I definitely turned the corner in a big way with all the roommates. You know what? You're not going to be able to take advantage of the situation anymore. I'm done with it.
That's right. Not going to have the situation to kick around anymore. He's going to move on.
To...
Anybody? Anybody want to ask me to stay? I'm moving on.
I'm serious this
Anybody,
time.
Anybody? I'm really not going to be there.
It won't help, but if you want to try and talk me into it.
So they go on a tour of Florence, and lots to see in Florence. You know, Leonardo da Vinci worked there, and Michelangelo did work there. I mean, very impressive art and architecture in the city of Florence, including the Statue of David, famous Statue of David.
Right.
A young man, nude, just like standing there with his hand and whatnot. So they're looking at that statue. The art may be lost on Snooki and Dina because all they're looking at is his butt and his penis and trying to evaluate how they can make it better.
Ooh, look at that butt.
Nice, huh? I think the Statue of David's pretty sexy. I would do it.
If I could change the Statue of David, he would legit look like a Guido. He could have a spray tan. And also, his wiener just doesn't cut it. But probably because he's soft.
Yeah.
What?
She's a delicate little flower, isn't
Pearls
she?
Pearls before swine, literally. So they go on to see this church where there's a beautiful mural done of all these different mythological creatures and... The gods of the Greeks and the Romans are portrayed, and it's beautiful. They got Cupids, you know, Cupids up there with the young cherubs with wings shooting arrows of love
right.
into people. And the tour guide's explaining this to them, and Snooki asked what I think is the question of the season.
Cupid, the son of Venus, who will throw the arrow of love?
So they're real?
What do you mean they're real?
The babies with wings?
They are the characters of mythology.
That's cool.
Wait, what?
She asked if the babies with the wings are real.
That's fantastic.
Now, Cupids, the babies that fly and shoot arrows of love.
But I don't
know. She asked if they were real.
No, but I don't know how dumb she is. Does she think they're real now, or were they real then? It
what
doesn't matter,
possible
does it?
Difference could it make when she thought they were real? She thought there were babies flying, shooting arrows at people, Kevin.
Okay.
You're as dumb as Snooki.
That's very possible.
Kevin may replace the situation on the next season of Jersey Shore.
Did she think they were real then or real now? That could not matter less.
All right. Good point.
Dumbass!
I withdraw.
The only thing worse than watching Jersey Shore is listening to this show.
Come on now!
So situations go around reminding people that he's not going to be there.
I mean,
I'm serious. I'm not staying on the show, you guys.
And nobody says, please come to Jersey with us. So he makes a decision on his own.
Jersey, here I come. You know, I always got something up my sleeve. And it's going to be a situation.
Wait, what happened to making your decision and moving on? What happened to that?
He already made it.
But no, he made another decision. He's going to go to Jersey. He's going to be in the next season. But here's his plan. He's gonna punish everybody who didn't ask him to stick around.
Isn't that everyone in the house?
Yes. He's gonna take on the whole house, and he's gonna be the new villain on Jersey Shore.
I will take on the whole house at once. I'm wild, and I don't mind it. You know, some of the others just don't like drama. Say hello to the bad guy.
The bad guy situation.
Really?
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Really?
Damn straight.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to be the villain.
Really?
Everybody's going to be in trouble now.
Okay,
with
can't
the
wait.
Situation on the Jersey Shore.
Talk to you next week, Aquisha.
Looking forward to that.
Looking forward.
Very scary conversations going on during the songs here.
I am like bringing Scrapple in next week for everybody. We're going to have a Scrapple party.
All right.
All right.
ScrappleParty.com. I don't think I'm interested, though. All right.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
I got it going on. I've got passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean K-Rock advanced screening of The Rum Diary.
No.
Yes. Brand new movie starring Johnny Depp, based on the novel by Hunter S. Thompson. Johnny plays a freelance journalist in Puerto Rico in the early 1960s, and he has to explore the island culture there, which is largely, as far as I can tell, getting loaded drunk and having sex with hot chicks.
All right.
And I believe there's a little LSD thrown in there as well. And what Hunter S. Thompson project would not be complete without a little LSD. So if you'd like to go, great cast, Johnny Depp, Aaron Eckhart, Amber Heard. Mm. Amber Heard.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Giovanni Ribisi also star in The Rum Diary. I've got two pairs of passes left to give away to our special screening, which happens on Tuesday, October the 25th. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two callers to get through get a pair of passes. And if you didn't win this week, don't dismay, because it's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 28th. So you can check it out then. Celebrity Apprentice cast looks like it's locked in. This according to multiple reports based on production sightings in New York while they're filming the show. So they haven't officially come out and said who's in it from NBC, but we're pretty sure this is the lineup for season 5. Teresa Giudice from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Debbie Gibson, the singer and songwriter. Lisa Lampanelli, the comedian. You see her on the roast all the time.
Yeah.
Over on Comedy Central. Victoria Gotti of the mob Gotti family.
You think Donald Trump's going to fire her?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
She's still probably got friends on the outside. Tia Carrera, actress and singer. Aubrey O'Day from Danny Kane.
Right.
Cheryl Teagues, former supermodel. Diana Mendoza, Miss Universe. And Patricia Velasquez, who is a model. That's an attractive batch.
Yes, it sure is.
Clay Aiken from American Idol, starting with the men's side. Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk. Could you have two more diametrically opposed people than Clay Aiken and Lou Ferrigno in the same room?
No. That's both ends of the spectrum.
Arsenio Hall. The people
love him. The people do love him.
They don't love him. They do not love him.
Oh, Arsenio. Oh.
That's Bean being the dog pound.
Right. That's what? Bean's version of, ooh.
Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
Hey, there's at least three oohs.
Ooh.
You don't just go with two.
Ooh.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There's only two there. Yeah. Why is Arsenio doing this show?
Because the people love him.
Okay, all right.
It's and he's looking good.
He's looking good. Play that bit right there.
Come on.
Play that thing right there.
Great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio. All, folks. The people love him.
Sweet. He'll never, ever get tired of that red carpet interview. And it has to be from what, 1991 or something?
It was a long time ago.
What was the last time Arsenio was invited to a red carpet anywhere?
Whenever it was, the people loved him back then. George Takei from Star Trek, Mr. Sulu.
He'll be very entertaining, I think.
Oh, my.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, Penn Jillette, Marco awesome. Andretti of the Racing Andretti family, and Paul Tootle from American Chopper. Good cast. No, still missing the lunatic factor that I enjoy on that show.
The Busey factor.
But I think Lampanelli and Corolla, Gillette.
Somebody might, step into that void.
Victoria Gotti's a loon. She's going to mix things up. The women are going to tear each other up. Teresa Giudice, this Real Housewife.
I really like this show so much. I'm no Trump fan, but I mean, I'm thinking about last season. I had no idea what to expect from some of these people. Dionne Warwick turns into Darth Vader. Yeah. I mean, she becomes this unbelievable villain. You would never expect that from a sweet, 65-year-old lady. And then David Cassidy is a big pussy. Yeah. You know, the last thing you expect to see. It's just crazy.
It's reality TV at its finest.
Yeah, true.
Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga have announced they will be appearing on Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. Don't they have anything better to do with their New Year's Eves?
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Oh, that's right. Wait, they taped this show in July. I forgot. That's how they get these people to make appearances.
Sometimes they do.
Secrets. Oh, let's go to Lady Gaga via satellite in Amsterdam in November.
5 months ago.
Yeah. Dick Clark's going to have to say Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber a lot in
Can't
the
wait.
Broadcast.
Can't
he
wait.
He is not going to fare well.
No.
Especially with Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. That's not going to be fun for anybody. Or is it?
It is. At some point, look, we've been calling for Mr. Clark to not host the TV broadcast ever since he had the stroke because it's just sad and it does not put us in a party mood to have that on. At some point, forget the stroke. He's 100. At some point, let him go just because he's too old to do it, right?
But he's got Rye propping him up there, so it's all good.
Well, I know, but still, then we got to see him gum his wife to death after midnight when she comes in for the kiss.
He gums her to death, but...
It's all drooly. I don't know. It's just, it's so sad.
I've been excited for some time about the Man from U.N.C.L.E. big motion picture that Steven Soderbergh is working on. The remake, of course, of the classic 1960s spy series starring Robert Vaughn and David McCallum. George Clooney was originally supposed to play Napoleon Solo, the James Bond type spy in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but he backed out of it. Matt Damon passed on the role, as did Johnny Depp, and looks like Bradley Cooper will be the star as Napoleon Solo in the film. Still no word yet on who will play Ilyaka Kuryakin.
That's the name.
Ilya Kuryakin, his Russian partner.
Ruff, did you see Bradley Cooper in Limitless? He's very good in that.
I thought that movie was a snore.
He was good in it, though. He's a good actor.
I think
he's
fine in this, too. I have no problem with it.
I think I'm just on Bradley Cooper, Ryan Reynolds overload. I don't think I need to see any of them in a movie for a couple years. I think I've just been overdosed.
Too much, right?
Yeah.
How about Bucky Larson to play the Russian in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Bucky Larson!
There's your answer.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider as the Men from U.N.C.L.E. That's what we need. And Jessica Simpson is expecting a baby girl, but she won't say it out loud. She hasn't gone public with the news, even though some of her close friends have, because, this is according to In Touch magazine, her dad / manager / creepy dude who talks about her boobs a lot. He's her dad.
He does.
Joe Simpson is trying to sell the official story and the upcoming baby pictures to a major periodical. And he can't find anybody to take him up on it. Maybe the price is too high. Maybe there's a lack of interest. But he's holding out until he can sell the story before allowing his daughter to make a public announcement that she is, in fact, pregnant.
So it's really hard for me to gain weight.
So she will have an umbilical cord dangling out of her before she will actually announce that she's pregnant.
I hope no one buys it. That'd be so great.
Word is that they've already got a name picked out. I mean, it's there. It's happening.
Wow.
But no one in the Simpson camp will acknowledge it because they're still trying to sell the official announcement.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No, they do not, sir.
Who's the baby daddy for this one?
Eric Johnson, her fiance.
It is, okay.
They're getting married on November the 11th next month in Hawaii. And then I guess it's time to paint the nursery.
Hmm. Doesn't Jessica just seem like so faded when the new Kardashian and those sorts of stars have kind of taken over that place?
Yeah, she holds no position in the firmament of reality TV
or music. Bodies.
Or I mean, music, yeah.
Both.
All she's got going is this fashion line, but that's all she needs. It's a blockbuster. Her clothing line is a huge hit.
Hmm.
So she's got that going for her. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Kardashian, while we're speaking of her, 31 years old today. Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains, he turns 35. Ken Watanabe.
Hi!
Most recently in Inception, 52 years old. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia of the Star Wars movies, the good ones. She is 55 years old today. And Judge Judy, Judy Shineland, celebrates her 69th birthday today. Happy birthday, Judge Judy. Any you have any feelings about how about turning 69, Judy? Anything you'd like to say?
A little more.
On this day of your birth 69 years ago, how do you feel about things?
That's baloney.
No.
It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense. You were born 69 years ago, Judy. That's how.
Not interested, sir.
No, well, it's your own birthday.
Not part. Interested, sir.
All right, I won't bring it up any longer.
Not interested, sir.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, I just had an email exchange with K-Rock listener Daniela.
Oh, Daniela.
Wanted me to play Halloween Spooks, and I wrote back, nope.
Oh, come on.
And then she wrote back, play the one of the little girls calling the Afro Line. That's her daughter.
That's her daughter?
Oh, you're kidding. The cutest little kid in the world.
So cute.
Here you go.
Halloween Spooks behind my, outside my window. Halloween Spooks behind a tree.
Come on.
She is pretty adorable, Daniela. Well done.
Super cute. Thank you.
Don't let your child listen to this program, however. It's bad parenting on your part.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I speak drunk.
Over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Picking up words won't save you.
Roll another one.
What?
Just like the other one.
You absolutely suck.
This seems to be about to quit.
I agree with you 100%.
I need another hit.
Well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison. But let's go hit Terrace Chase and look for the head of the pit. Oh,
not yeah. Interested, sir.
Roll another one.
You're talking out of your ass, dummy.
Just like the other one.
It ain't natural.
This one seems to be about to end.
You need to go to Riddlewheel. Riddlewheel.
I don't have another cent.
Son. Never kick a cow turd on a hot day.
But just pass it around.
Chicks and midgets, bam.
Joint, my friend.
Uh-huh, what's that all about?
I just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
That was very cute. I'm going to talk to my pastor and see if I can't get you kids to perform that for our Sunday service.
La, 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 go away. I will be gone by the end of the day. Get out of my face.
Right, that's the end. Stop the program. Stop it.
This was exhausting. This whole experience was absolutely exhausting. You are absolutely the most insufferable group of jackasses I have ever had the misfortune of spending an extended period of time with. I hope you all